Hi, this is Paula Abdul. Sorry. And I just farted really loud.
Hey, what's poppin'? Ooh, it's the weekend! With the Drew and Mike Show in the DealsNiddy.com studios. And I'm kind of pumped. We've got a big concert. Finally, our coronavirus concert.
Can't wait.
With a lot of our favorite people, like Phineas.
Oh, yeah. Brandon's favorite.
Elton John.
Look at him beaming when you said Phineas. He got so happy. Loves him.
I'm just saying, the dude can, he can play. He knows his instruments well.
Paul McCartney. Eddie Vedder. They've got the Streamcast before that with Sheryl Crow's on there, The Killers,
sure,
Adam Lambert, a whole bunch of people. I'm excited about it. It's going to be on all the networks, too, or at least I know ABC, NBC, CBS.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder how, do you think that'll be a big, 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 big
deal? I do not want him coming out on stage unless he's hard.
Oh, big viewership? Yeah, because you can't do anything else.
Yeah,
There's nothing else to do. I don't think there's anything new on Netflix. Except, I mean, we can talk about it later. The one new episode of Tiger King that was released last night.
Did you see that?
I did.
Is it, I don't know, any good?
We can discuss it later. I was amused by it. I'll say that much.
I have every intention of watching it. It sounds like it's kind of funny. I don't like the idea of a movie. I don't think you can top what, I mean, you can't make something like that up, and I don't think you can, why do you need to redo it?
So, yeah.
It's incredible.
But the extra episode is just, it's hosted by Joel McHale, kind of like we're doing here with communications.
Mm-hmm.
And he just interviews five people, Jeff Lowe and his girl, the Tim Coe lookalike, as we call him, most likable guy on there.
Yeah,
the guy without any legs, Saf was interviewed, and I forgot who the fifth, the producer was interviewed. So all people that worked specifically with Joe Exotic. And my one takeaway is, boy, they really, really hate that guy with a passion.
Oh, he's a flaming asshole.
Yeah.
I mean, they showed him in the best light they possibly could in that documentary, and he still is a pretty major asshole.
Is that Joe Exotic? That's Joe Exotic?
Yeah. So there's more bad stories about him.
Right off the bat, when you're gay and you marry straight men who will have gay sex with you because you brought him with meth for life.
Yeah.
And they're young.
That says a little bit about somebody.
They do interview that one husband, too, with his new teeth.
Oh, okay.
And, cool. And the funny thing, the entertaining thing about it was Joel McHale. He was very, very funny. And, he asked Jeff Lowe how many Affliction t-shirts he owned, which was really good. He said 60 to 70, spoiler alert.
Well, he would be perfect for that, Joel McHale, I would think.
He was really good. He was really funny.
So we've got our concert Saturday night on all the networks. Detroit Music Awards, which Gary was plugging, of course, yesterday. Sunday night at 8, and then ESPN is starting their 10-part series on the Jordan Bulls, also on Sunday. I think a lot of people are going to watch that because what else are you going to do?
I was really looking forward to that, and then I saw his interview with Robin Roberts, and I kind of...
I heard Jordan get emotional?
No, get emotional. No.
I heard he got emotional in one of the interviews. Robin, it wasn't with Robin. I don't know who it would be with.
She just wanted to talk about his mom.
Whatever.
Exactly.
Gary Graff, by the way, I was sent a picture of Gary on Channel 7 plugging the Detroit Music Awards, and what is all the crap in his office? I mean, it's really fun to be able to see people at home and what's behind them and what's in their room. And Gary just has stacks and stacks of stuff. He needs to have a garage sale.
Gary Graff garage sale. That'd be great.
I tweeted it out if you haven't seen the picture. What in the world?
Let's just say
he doesn't seem like he would. Mr. Big Stuff, I would think that he would have an immaculate office.
Oh, really?
I would, because he's Mr. Big Stuff.
But think of all the stuff he gets sent.
That's true.
And he's got to listen to it all. He can't get rid of anything, I wouldn't think.
I would just think it would be very orderly.
Oh, maybe. There's a lot of open boxes. That was my takeaway.
What? No awards, though?
No awards.
No awards.
And we know he's won some, so it's very humble of you, Mr. Big Stuff.
Facebook Live is brought to you by our friends at GrowGreen, who are buying truckloads of soil, lights, and nutrients daily to make sure to keep Michigan green during COVID-19. Your plants rely on you, and you can rely on GrowGreen to keep the doors open and the shelves fully stocked with everything you need to grow your own veggies, grow your own cannabis, or to care for your lawn and garden.
If GrowGreen doesn't have it in stock, no one does. Shop in-store, over the phone, or online at growgreenmi.com, where delivery and curbside pickups are available. How is our Facebook Live?
I got off to a shaky start.
What?
Well, I'll just say that Zoov's internet went out about 5 seconds in, but we are back on, and I think everybody's waiting for your watch party to start, really. I mean,
I'm not going to throw a watch party unless we deserve one.
366 right now, so okay. I think that's deserving of a watch party.
That's pretty good. I got to
feel
it,
though. Hey, baby, you looking for a party?
If you could just throw a watch party, you have to feel it. So give me a few minutes. I'm trying to get in the zone. We had a few issues before the show. I will mention, too, that Mesa Tequila and Tacos is rocking away in Royal Oak with fajita kits. You can get your beer and wine also with your orders. And then starting today, get your favorite Mesa hand-squeezed cocktails delivered to your door. You just have to add the booze. We can only do beer and wine, but handcrafted margaritas and cocktails to go. Curbside, DoorDash, Grubhub, Uber Eats. And they're going to have free trivia, too. This will be virtual Thursday at 7 p.m. I think Tiger King might be the topic.
Man, I'm in.
Check out the Facebook page for Mesa Tacos and Tequilas. First place gets a $20 gift certificate. Well,
$20.
So there. And also the DDA in Royal Oak. I was talking to somebody who's involved in that.
Is it the same person that was quoted in the article?
Possibly. They're going to pony up $2 million in financial aid and recovery for businesses, and I guess there's going to be grants and forgivable loans. So,
I like what that person said in the in his quotes. He said he would rather give it when you reopen because they don't want to give it to businesses that are going to stay closed.
They're just going to limit their losses. Yeah. Exactly. I know. It's
very smart. That guy is a very smart man.
He's a get things done kind of guy.
Everyone turns their brains off.
We need it. We need somebody to get things done. I mean, I don't know what we need. I had to fade to black watching the news today.
What?
I just couldn't take it. Did we just go off?
No, are we? Okay.
It was, okay, first of all, CBS is doing a story. It was a good story, mm-hmm. but it was about the ripple effect of dollars that aren't spent. And they start with, let's see, I think I made some notes here somewhere.
Well, what dollars are getting spent?
Well, not many.
Yeah.
But they were talking about dollars that aren't getting spent. Like this woman, she lost her job. She can't fix her car. So the car repair place is losing her business. They're losing other people's business, too. They are buying less parts from the auto parts place.
Car.
That's a couple blocks away. The auto parts place is laying people off because they're not getting. I mean, it was just really depressing.
Yeah.
And then all the C-19 talk, you know, is about how, we have to test so many more people before we can open up the economy. And it's not that I don't understand it. It's just frustrating. It's like, we don't have supplies either because a lot of them, you know, we're typically getting this stuff from China or somewhere. And so, you know, we just have all these problems and they're so huge. And time is of the essence to a lot of us. I think we saw that in East Lansing yesterday.
What a mess.
A lot of impatient people mm-hmm. who are worried, as they should be. Unfortunately, East Lansing just got completely, the whole point was lost.
Yeah.
In the fact that people were just clumping up, weren't wearing masks. I mean, you almost get the impression that they didn't believe that there really is a virus or something, which I don't think is the case.
Yeah, no, I think it's more about this, how severe, you know, it's the whole thing we talked about the other day, weighing the cure versus the actual disease.
Right.
And as time goes on, yeah, those are going to shift differently, I think.
It's very difficult. So anyway, I had to fade to black. I couldn't take it.
Are you okay?
It was too much. Yeah, I'm okay. Because I dug into last night on ID channel. ID bails me out so often. True crime. They had a show called Total Recall. And they repeat this stuff all the time. If you turn it on, it's probably on right now. If you turn on your TV and put it on ID, at any given time, I'd say there's a 1 in 4 chance the McNair episode will be on.
ID channel.
It's about the Steve McNair murder, the NFL quarterback who retired in 2007, I believe, and then just...
We call him Young Tom Brady.
One of these athletes who, you know, all of a sudden you don't have that adrenaline rush of playing football.
Yeah.
He was only 35 when he retired, and he just went a little crazy mm-hmm. with the drinking and the girls, and what do you know, he is found murdered in 2009. That's got to be the most... That has to be one of the biggest sports crimes. I mean, outside OJ, of course. Hard to top OJ.
It was 2009 when that happened?
2009.
Yeah. No, yeah, it's not going to top OJ.
But it was huge. I mean, it was a crazy story.
Len Bias is pretty huge.
That was a big story.
Total Recall or is it Deadly Recall?
Oh, maybe it's Deadly Recall. Sorry.
Chill out, dickwad.
Did Arnold Schwarzenegger, did he host that one?
Were there three boobs in it on one?
He lies.
So McNair was having a fling. The story's really, it just gets weirder and weirder the more you learn about it. Because I started listening to a podcast on it. When I faded to black on news, I was like, I kind of want to hear more about this McNair story. So I started listening to this podcast called, not Collateral Damage.
Total Damage.
No. Oh, man. Why am I one word off on everything
Thank you, Brandon.
Today?
Brandon
Predator. Predator Damage.
No.
Commando.
Kindergarten Cop Damage.
I'll never remember. Just look up Steve McNair Podcast. Google it if you want to hear it. Anyway, it was
True Lies Damage.
As you get into this thing, it is just so ludicrous that this guy is dating this 19-year-old idiot. I mean, idiot. The one who they believe killed him and then herself because McNair had another girlfriend. He was also married with two kids.
Nice.
And McNair was a guy who was a real community guy who gave to charity and did things and, you know, really beloved guy. But he just really went off the rails when he retired from football.
I think the podcast is called Fall of a Titan.
Thank you.
It's either that or Last Action Hero.
It's Fall of a Titan. That's it.
Okay.
Is that a Sports Illustrated podcast?
Yes.
I guess they have a true crime series. I'm going to dig into that, too, because I've got some time on my hands. But, oh, my God. I'll get into this later. I really want to dig into this because it's just an amazing story. But I thought maybe we could start with some rock and roll today because, for example, just a few items. The Iggy Pop, the Bowie years, is coming out, which I'm excited about because the Holy Trinity is Iggy Pop, David Bowie, Lou Reed. And Iggy and Bowie worked together for really about 3 years. And Bowie toured in Iggy's band.
Yeah.
He was playing keyboards and singing backing vocals, which is bizarre to think about now. And they wrote some great songs
when he wrote Passenger?
Yes. Passenger, Lust for Life. There's quite a few really good songs. None of them were hits. There's a lot of them that are known now from movie soundtracks and from Jim Rome using Lust for Life. But The Idiot and Lust for Life were both fabulous records. I think Iggy's best. I like him better than Stooges. Seven CDs.
Rock and roll!
There's some live Iggy with Bowie. And studio stuff, too. Then, while I was digging around in the Bowie and Iggy stuff, I listened to, and I don't know why I didn't think of this as a song that works very well right now. Does anybody know the song by Bowie called 5 Years?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Isn't that just, what an incredible bleeping song that is.
It is. That's a great song. It's off of what album?
Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars. It's the first track. Does anyone know what a first track on an album is anymore?
No.
Electric arms and TVs. My brain hurt like hell. It had no room to spare. I had to cram so many things to store everything in there. And all the fat, skinny people.
Oh, I'd love to have a voice like that. What a voice.
Well, good for you.
I just picture him listening to everything and saying that. Oh, man.
All right, I guess we're never going to hear the hook. But anyway.
Where's it at?
It's coming up.
So this project has a 40-page book along with it, too, which if you know Iggy and Ziggy, you can imagine how great that is.
Oh, I'm excited about it.
Still not at the hook.
No, we're halfway into the song. Where's this hook? What a terrible songwriter.
Are you sure you didn't go past the first hook? The first verse or the first chorus?
Well, it took forever to get started. Let me know when it's coming up.
Well, if you just let it go, it'll eventually.
It's getting there.
That's what I thought.
I think it's right here.
We both know that we shouldn't be here.
It had no room to spare.
This part we heard already.
Yeah, I know. And there's more after this that we had already heard too. But I don't know why I keep skipping on.
You take forever to say nothing.
A couple weird lines.
What a mess.
There's a couple weird lines in here too, like a black pulled a man off of something, and then he says a queer did something.
Well, he's canceled.
Yeah, I know.
Larry DiMaggio on Facebook Live said it's like Biden's podcast. Takes forever to get to a point.
All right. Axl Rose was six. You can keep playing it.
I'll keep it down.
I'll tell you when the hook comes. Right. Axl Rose was 6 hours late to his home live stream. They might try to watch that. 6 hours late.
Well, come on. That's buyer beware.
Well, a lot of people said that, but Slash was sitting there waiting with his guitar.
Oh, what an asshole.
Oh, he was. Slash is really pissed. He didn't really hold back. And then Axl goes on at 2 a.m., plays 30 seconds of November Rain, and then, see ya!
Really?
Wow. Yes!
Oh, man. Oh, jeez.
How about
that's
that?
Funny.
Okay, the hook has to be coming up. Crank it up.
Smiling and waving and looking so fine. Don't think you knew you were in the song. And it was cold and it rained, so I felt like an actor. And I thought,
here it comes. I hate the song now. Fucking hate it.
We got 5 years.
Yes.
What a surprise.
Who are you?
My brain hurts a lot.
Who are you?
5 years. That's all we got. We got
5 years.
What a surprise.
All right. The song sucks, I admit it. I hate Bowie. I hate the song.
No, it doesn't.
It all blows.
Why?
I'm kidding. Johnny Depp and Jeff Beck have put out a song, which I thought was kind of interesting. It's an interesting song choice. And, of course, Jeff Beck I love. This is kind of weird because I think Depp is singing.
What's it called?
It's a cover of John Lennon's Isolation.
Well, that's why you like it.
No, the original song was good. I'm not going to suggest otherwise, just to make people happy. Or to make me talk about the Beatles all the time more than I already do.
Do they go for 4 minutes before getting to the hook? Should I jump for it is what I'm asking.
No. Just let it play. People say we got it. I just want to hear Depp's vocals more than anything.
Don't they know we're so afraid? Solution.
I think he's trying to sound like Lennon.
We were afraid to be alone.
He already smells like him.
Everybody got to have a home.
That's Depp.
Solution. Just a boy and a little girl trying to change the whole wide world.
Solution. He ever put anything out before?
Depp?
Well, yeah,
he's in that one band, the Vampire Hollywood Vampires.
Yeah, but have you ever heard his vocals before?
I don't think so. I gotta tell you, it's not as bad as I thought it would be.
Yeah, no, hey, I gotta clear something up. Drew,
you are fake news.
What?
That Axl Rose story is complete satire.
Oh!
I thought I read that this morning. You know, being fake news and everything. I mean, the Photoshop looks worse than the ones that we put up.
Well, I didn't see any pictures.
What's funny is it's a believable sad piece of satire, which is what makes it good.
It's not even satire. How is it satire? I mean, shouldn't there be some really wild twist? Okay, now I'm criticizing the fake thing that I believed. okay, sorry, whatever. God, it shows off to a shit start.
I guess that's why there's no watch party today.
No, I'm not throwing a watch party now.
Oh, man, yet. All these people are waiting for a watch party.
Something good has to happen before I'm going to blow out a watch party. Is there somebody we can call? Can we open the Hall Financial Hotline and stir some shit up?
Sure. We could call, I don't know, this lady's arrested, but we call this Walmart where this darling lady got arrested. And her problem is, so she pled guilty to two counts of violating a stay-at-home order because, you know, it's just everywhere. This is in Ohio.
Wait, you can't go to Walmart?
I guess not. Or I guess maybe because they told her to stay home. So what happened? April 4th, she was busted for shoplifting from a Walmart. for the second day in a row. She took several items out of the store without paying. She wasn't caught that day. Officers were given a photo of her, and when she came back to the store the next day and shoplifted again, they were ready to make the arrest. According to the incident report, she had been apprehended by loss prevention workers within the store. In the arrest report, the loss prevention employee noted that, quote, once in the loss prevention office, the female proceeded to defecate on the floor because she, quote, could not hold it.
Oof.
The female said her reason for being thrown for being in town was because her husband was a truck driver and had to stop at the pilot dome, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, she continued to projectile defecate throughout the whole.
Projectile defecate.
Yeah, the word projectile. I'm looking for that exact part.
I was on the fence, but now I want to call.
And she learned she was being placed under arrest. She stood up. She started screaming in, quote, an unidentified language. She then proceeded to pull up the dress she was wearing, exposed her body underneath, and again started projectile defecating all over this place, all over the office. The loss prevention officer backed into the corner of the office to avoid
the
flying feces and called for backup.
What is coming with a shield?
Bring a hose? what kind of backup? I got to tell you, whatever that backup is, they're not in any hurry.
All right, I'm sold. I was really on the fence, but now I'm fascinated. It sounds like this woman,
get the number, so
she can projectile defecate on demand.
Well, look at her. Doesn't she look like a projectile defecator?
Oh, hold it up to your camera, Drew.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I could see her blowing one out. I thought she'd be bigger. Can you see that?
Oh, okay. I see that. Yeah.
Well, you're bigger, doesn't that get in the way?
She could. Maybe she's a car fox. Or
a mugshot fox?
Hall Financial, by the way, is the sponsor of the Hall Financial Hotline, which does need to be opened up. And they think it's a good time for you to refinance. And, in fact, a lot of people think it's a good time to refinance. A lot of people are, because rates have been just going down, down, down. They've been down there for a while. But you know what? If you haven't done it yet, this is probably the time, because a lot of people are going to be watching their dollars, and found money is a pretty nice thing right now. So why don't you check in with Hall Financial? Go to DavidHallFinancial.com/Drew and Mike. Why is it David Hall Financial? What is it?
David Hall Mortgage.
Why is it mortgage?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm just throwing, because DavidHallMortgage.com.
I've had it with David Hall. David Hall.
I love you, David.
DavidHallMortgage.com/Drew and Mike. Or you click the link on our website, fill out the online form. They'll get back to you in no time so you can start saving money. Or if you need to take cash out of your home, which a lot of people need liquidity right now, 248-308-5000 for Hall Financial. Lower payments, better option, more personal attention.
I saw his TV commercial today. He's really good. It's like the coronavirus version. Very good.
He's pretty solid.
Not too maudlin.
And he's still advertising here, which I don't know. I'm surprised actually at how many people we still have.
I know. It's been very supportive.
It's a source of stress, no doubt, because you have got to wonder. I don't know. I got to stop watching cable news for sure.
Yeah, you do.
Now, I think I want to throw the watch party, because if we are able to get somebody to talk about this person who can defecate
projectile
feces on demand, that's something I think people need to hear about.
Where? What Walmart was this?
It's in Ohio.
Watch party just started.
Oh, boy, that's great.
Watch party is underway. I'm going to share the groups. Drew and Mike podcast fans. There you go. Then the Drew and Mike fans.
Congratulations, everybody.
All right. You're all invited.
Security guard. Keeping people safe.
Matt didn't have a song for loss prevention.
Do people feel honored to be invited to our watch parties?
Always making sure that people be.
Oh, look at all the people coming in. Brian, I see Mark.
And look forward to the opportunity to serve you in our store.
Fake!
Our store hours have changed. Most stores are open from 7 a.m. to 8:30
p.m. Suspicious people for bad, bad,
further notice. But please check your store page on Walmart.com for more details.
Just try zero?
Due to a large demand in products, associates are unable to confirm product availability at this time.
I don't know if you've called any other store. They all have this new long message beforehand.
They're turning it into a Walmart with a crown on it.
For electronics, press 2.
Here we go.
For pickup, press
prevention?
3. For belly, press 4. To speak with an associate, press 0. To repeat this menu, press star.
0, associate?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Sure.
Yeah.
No bad stuff
ever happens. Oh yeah.
What's his song?
The security guard keeps people safe.
Oh, that's
it. On the phone.
What a great song. What inspired him to write that song? Matt Farley just wrote songs for every county in Maryland, by the way.
He did.
He did. I'm following on Twitter now. Yeah, Doug's here. Mark's here. Dawn's here. Brad's here. I don't see a lot of people thanking me for inviting them, but oh well. Paul, PJ's here. Thanks, PJ, for staying with us. Matt's here. PJ's from GrowGreenMI.com.
Living in Walmart. How may I help you?
Hi. I'm calling. I'm following up on there was a shoplifting incident, and apparently some medical people are concerned about some possible issues with viruses and whatnot as a result of the shoplifting incident. A woman apparently was defecating.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Okay. You probably heard about it. It sounds awful.
No, I didn't, sir. It was at the Lebanon Walmart.
Yes, and apparently the person that was shoplifting had some kind of projectile defecation, and there was calls for help, and I don't know.
Oh, my God.
I know. It sounds terrible. I'm shocked you haven't heard about it. Maybe it was so bad that it's being kept.
Well, I wasn't here.
It happened with loss prevention. Is there extension available, or is that just quarantine right now, the whole office?
Yeah, for health reasons, we're going to need to talk to loss prevention, please.
Okay, what I'll do is I'll page a manager.
Oh,
okay?
Great. That's awesome.
All right, that'd be great.
Can we hear the page?
All right. Just a moment.
Maybe we... I think we could probably convince her to hand the PA system over to us.
I'm not sure if you know how to figure that out. Well, she sure sounded... I mean, if the story is the story, tell how upset she was. This story is upsetting to anyone.
How could that have happened? You never heard anything about it.
She said she hadn't gone number two in 10 days, but today was D-Day.
It does make me wonder if it's the right Walmart.
It is.
I mean, there are a lot of Walmarts. Are you sure?
Now that you're questioning it, I'm not so sure.
I mean, I can't believe that wouldn't be the talk of Walmart for a month. With people having to go in the office and point to where it happened.
Trying to keep it quiet.
Here's where the guy came in with a shield.
Yeah. Backup, well, they did release the one piece of audio. But
where's the bathroom? I got to take a dump.
And the person who experienced and the person who was called for backup would both be holding court regularly telling this story about projectile
defecation.
Here's
the real audio. I'm sorry about that.
Let me just make it to the bathroom before I lose my bowels all over myself. Sorry.
Steven says, I'd rather squat over a flaming hibachi with a rectum full of M80s than work at Walmart.
Raul wondered if she was shoplifting ammonium AD. Maybe. Well, then it's a health issue for her.
She said it came out so compact that it looked like a V8 can that was followed by what she referred to as 2 minutes of hot dog water.
I never got to this part in the story. After putting her in cuffs, she became so combative, she tried to pull away from officers before... again, defecating at the entrance of Walmart.
Ooh.
The hell?
Hello?
So you know someone was out there with a hose.
Jesus.
I need your supervisor.
Hello?
If you're just joining us, we're on hold waiting for somebody in Walmart management to talk to us about a pretty frightening story where a woman was arrested for shoplifting. And when she was taken back to the office, she proceeded to projectile defecate. Seemingly on demand. She said she pulled up her dress.
Yeah. Causing him to retreat into the corner.
And call for backup and a shield. I bet they have shields in there somewhere. The guy ran down aisle 6 to pick up a shield. I'm going to ask.
Oh, my God. Now I'm just wondering, how long is she going to leave us on hold?
She seemed pretty...
There's the lady in question.
She seemed pretty sincere about following through on this. I mean, I think I got her pretty worked up. If she truly didn't know about it, she was definitely upset about it upon hearing the news from me.
Yes.
Got the severe anal discharge, sometimes violent, a.k.a. diarrhea.
Fortunately, there's lots of drops to fill in the blanks.
Yeah.
Is that Brandon?
Where's Lebanon, Ohio?
Is that Brandon getting busy over there on his keyboard?
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that.
Sorry again for the delay. I have diarrhea.
All right. Well, I might as well tell you about Zot dealerships. This has nothing to do with the content of the show currently. Zot Ford, Zot Chrysler Jeep, and Zot Dodge Ram, and Zot Toyota can once again help you purchase a new and pre-loved vehicle. Working within the government's orders, governor's orders, all showrooms must remain closed. However, our friends at Zot Automotive and DealsInTheD.com will be taking care of our listeners over the phone and online. And the best part is once you pick up your new wheels, Zot will deliver it right to your home or essential business.
Hello?
All this will be done with the intense focus on keeping you and the, it would be funny if they were on hold and they thought they were listening to a commercial. This will be done with the intense focus on keeping you and their sales and service team safe with social distancing and complete vehicle disinfecting. Plus, as we've mentioned before, all four Zot dealership parts. Why do they keep doing this fake out where it sounds like they're picking up a phone?
Annoying.
Are open. All the parts, service, and body shops are open and offering full valet pickup and delivery service.
Psych!
Hello?
In a time that not all dealerships are open, please take advantage of Zot's sales and service departments as well as free and safe pickup and delivery from our friends at Zot Automotive and DealsInTheD.com.
Somebody
said, are we muting it so it sounds like it's being picked up?
No. Someone said on the Facebook Live that it's taken. We've been on hold longer than it took to get to the Bowie hook of that song.
Oh, that's funny. That's really funny.
I thought it was not your fault.
I'm canceling the watch party if I get another smartass remark like that.
Should we just call back?
Yes, I think we should.
Hello?
Now there's two issues. While you're calling back.
Let's run it again. Run it again. Let's go.
There we go. Thank you, Katie. If you're a man facing divorce, you need Adam, the American Divorce Association for Men. With Adam, you can get divorced without losing your house or your kids. And during the pandemic, Adam is offering a 10% discount to healthcare workers.
Go ahead.
Because they know the men working on the front line need to get divorced too, unfortunately. Call Adam at 248-356-2326. That's 248-356-ADAM.
I bet we get it.
Online grocery. How can I help you?
Yes, we were waiting. I guess a manager was trying to talk to us about some health issues regarding the loss prevention incident. Someone had apparently projectile defecation in the loss prevention office, and there's some health issues that need to be discussed. And we were holding for someone, and I don't know what happened. It's crazy. Did you hear about? Did you hear, ma'am? Did you hear about the incident? By the way, are you the one that came in with the shield, or did you hear about it?
No, I haven't even heard about it.
Hmm. Is there another Walmart in the vicinity?
I know of Wilmington and Middletown.
Mark, what's the street for this?
It's supposed to be in Waynesville. Are you near Waynesville?
Yes, we are near Waynesville.
Yeah. Okay. I think they're keeping it a little below deck because it was a horrible incident and there were a lot of implications from a health standpoint. And also there was the frightening aspect of someone being able to projectile vomit.
Can we be connected to loss prevention?
Honestly, I do not know how to, transfer. I don't normally answer our door phone.
I see. Are you shorthanded because of the coronavirus?
A little bit. Yeah.
Ooh. I see. Are people distancing properly? Because that's another concern that we have.
COVID-19!
Apparently.
I believe we're doing the best that we can. I mean,
I understand.
Some customers aren't.
I feel bad now.
No, that's great. And I appreciate your hard work there. There a manager, perhaps?
Actually, our department manager left for the day, and our assistant is not.
A slacker.
That means our supervisor.
Has there been, have they been disinfecting properly? Because that would be the main question regarding the loss prevention area.
Yes. Over an OGP for us, yes, we will wipe down our carts and stuff every day in our hands.
Aw. Okay. Well, I hope the shield got the same treatment and the person, maybe if they needed any psychiatric help or whatnot, that was a pretty serious incident. But I do appreciate your time and your hard work over there.
Oh, yeah. We're trying our best.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, everyone that didn't know about it knows about it now, so...
I actually felt bad at the end.
They'll spread the word. I know. She was being really nice. She thought she was in trouble.
I know.
Somebody's in trouble.
She just wants to fill orders for pickup.
Yeah, boy.
Not deal with projectile defecation.
Well, now, what other... It doesn't... Sounds like that's the Walmart.
Oh, it 100% is the Walmart. I double-checked it, so yeah.
All right. We'll have to call them back.
I admire Walmart for keeping the story as quiet as possible, even within their own walls.
No, they're really, really fighting to keep this thing under wraps, and mm-hmm. we're not going to let that happen. There was an obituary today of really pretty major note. Brian Dennehy.
Yeah.
The great Brian Dennehy, who is best known for playing John Wayne Gacy and uttering the line, "I know what you need. You need another drink." Yeah. To the teenage runaway that Gacy was about to boo-foo and then...
Does grass make you horny?
Well, it's a real John Wayne.
He sounds just like him.
I thought it was Dennehy for a second.
No, I thought of him.
Play some Gacy because.
In honor of
Brian Dennehy.
I'm sure that's the way Brian would want to be remembered.
I'm sure it would too because.
Not the father and leader. Callahan Automotive and Tommy Boy.
I think in listening to Gacy, you can tell what a great job Dennehy did as John Wayne Gacy. And we don't have any good Dennehy audio handy, or do we?
And he was about 2 years, two or three years younger than me. Mm-hmm. He was married. His wife was about to have a baby. So every Monday night, we used to watch the NFL Monday Night Football. So anyhow, he was married and I'm married. And my wife used to go over to his house all the time.
Fucking shit.
So Monday night, he used to come over and we would be in the rec room watching television. And,
should issue a warning now.
Just, you know how the subject with guys
uh-huh.
get on the sex. Uh-huh. He says he's not getting none, and she won't go down on him, and all this and that.
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, why the hell don't you go find something else? You know. Uh-huh. And then he started coming on to me.
Nice.
Uh-huh. And it's the strangest because I would have never thought of him being bi. You know, I had already met that way, and I never thought he was.
That's so hot.
But he was talking about how horny he was, and he ended up going down on me.
Oh, wow. Of course.
Yeah.
And who could resist?
We could progress to more and more stuff for the whole season, the whole NFL season.
Mm-hmm.
He liked to be submissive. And yet here's a guy that, you know, he had one kid, and his wife was getting ready to have the second kid. He was an insurance man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it wasn't about bodies. He was just... sensation of getting off, and that's what I was trying to tell you. Because I asked this guy, I says, why do you like going down on me? He says, I don't know. He says, it's not so much as he says, it's when I get you off. Yeah. Feeling the power that I feel.
Yeah, that's what you're saying.
You know, I said, okay. Really good.
And then he got warm, you know, each week, come over, we'd have our beer, watch the football game, and every one of them ended up doing the same thing.
Nice.
Either he was catching it one way or the other.
Oh, God.
Gay. Fucking shit.
Wow. Jason sounds so into it when he's talking to him. I mean, that is Gacy from Death Row on the phone with the author of, what's the name of the book again?
The Perfect Victim or The Last Victim?
The Last Victim.
Yeah.
And Jason wrote to John Wayne Gacy and Richard Ramirez and Jeffrey Dahmer. And he essentially posed...
Manson, too. Didn't he write to Manson? Yeah, I got nothing back.
He didn't get much back from Manson. Manson gets so much. Can you imagine if Manson had an Instagram if he was alive?
Oh, it'd be great,
Instagram
wouldn't
account? He'd be such a huge influencer.
Yeah, imagine his watch parties. Wow.
So, anyway, Gacy took great interest in Jason because Jason was like... his letter was like, yeah, I'm a young guy. I got long... long brown hair with blonde streaks, and I'm really tan, and I just ran away from home. I'm 17, and I'm kind of horny. And so he tried to essentially pose as the perfect victim for the person,
mm-hmm.
depending on who it was, and so Gacy wrote him right away. Gacy
wrote
back.
They wanted to go down on me.
And they ended up being, I mean, they were constantly on the phone and sending letters back and forth, and he even visited Gacy.
It's not a love affair. The object is that you're both getting your rocks off.
So I'm looking at Dennehy's IMDb. Let's see. We should really properly give him respect on the day of his death.
Well, Tommy Boy, right? Isn't that the big one?
Tommy Boy, that's a huge one, I think. He died in Tommy Boy, as someone pointed out
on
Facebook Live.
Oh, Life imitating art many decades later. Spoiler alert.
Sorry.
Wait, what was the spoiler alert that you had on the, was on the Boner line, right?
That was when that was really somebody funny. Decided during quarantine that they were going to read Grapes of Wrath.
Yeah. And you ruined it.
Drew spoiled it. All right.
Well, sorry about that. Hey, he's in Summer Catch. I don't remember him in Summer Catch.
Let me guess. He played a grandfather or maybe he's the coach. Could he have been the coach?
Yeah, I think he was the coach. I think you're right.
Wasn't there something with Brian Dennehy in South Park early on, too?
You're thinking of Patrick Duffy.
Okay. I don't know how.
I'm going through his IMDb, and suddenly I'm feeling like I'm overrating his obituary because I can't find shit. Oh, there's Tommy Tommy Boy.
Patty P says he was in Dallas and Dynasty.
Ugh, I remember that.
I don't
know. There it is. To Catch a Killer, TV miniseries, John Wayne Gacy, 2 episodes.
He is no longer with us.
He died.
Seemed like he was in everything for a while. He's in Presumed Innocent.
He was in Rambo.
Oh, that's right. He's in Rambo. Oh, absolutely. Is this that the original Rambo?
First Blood.
Worst eulogy ever.
He was in an episode of Miami Vice.
Cool.
I thought he had more, like, sort of, you know, tertiary roles in big movies.
Maybe we're confusing him with Stacy Keach.
Possibly. He was in Legal Eagles. Whatever that is. Robert Redford? Huh? Silverado Cocoon. And, yeah.
Great.
Okay, whatever. We certainly do regret. Send our best
R.I.P.
to the Dennehy family at this difficult time, in spite of his less than stellar career.
He'll never be forgotten.
Yeah. Shiny and sparkly and splendidly bright. Here one day, gone one night. Gone too soon.
Someone on Facebook said that the South Park movie parodied him.
Okay.
So they add that to the eulogy.
We don't have any of his great scenes in
the
Gacy movie?
No.
Aren't any in YouTube or anything?
I totally forgot about it. He mentioned it live.
That was such a gutty decision to play John Wayne Gacy.
Yeah.
In that miniseries.
Well, maybe he was fond of Johnny.
So, the Steve McNair ID show and the podcast, just, I don't know, this story is just so... It's got everything. It's got the star athlete, this girl who they ended up determining shot him and then shot herself. And that's sort of the premise of the podcast is that, you know what? We're not so sure that she shot him and then shot herself. This doesn't make sense to everyone.
Really? What, that someone murdered both of them or he did it?
I think the idea is that someone murdered both of them.
Oh, come on.
Well, it's an interesting podcast. I mean... I was fascinated by everything about this whole story, so that didn't ruin it for me, even though I really didn't want to go there.
Shut up, conspiracy theorist.
Well, stick to the ID channel part. What did they say?
Well, the ID channel followed the story pretty carefully. They had the investigator from the Nashville police, 25-year guy.
Yeah, I'd rather hear from him.
And so it was pretty straight. The podcast got deeper, though, which is where I wanted to go. And there's so many bizarre things you find out in this. But first of all, this girl is 19. Her name's Jenny Kazemi. She came from Iran. She lived in Iran for the first 13 years of her life and then moved to Jacksonville.
Oh, boy.
While she was in Iran, her mother was murdered when she was 9.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
And her sister said, and there seemed to be some backing for this, that the police came, very briefly investigated, determined that the family, the Kazemi family, was not Muslim, and then just kind of said, yeah, whatever.
Really?
Yeah. That's what her sister said and another family member. Hmm. So anyway, she's a tiny little thing, except she's got huge boobs.
All right.
And she's very pretty.
Now we know what McNair saw in her.
They call her Jenny Kazemi because I guess she has an ass like Jennifer Lopez. And she looks like Jennifer Lopez.
That is the stupidest nickname I've ever heard.
I don't really think she looked like Jennifer Lopez. She's hot. She got a really hot body. So why... Steve McNair meets a 19-year-old waitress at Dave & Buster's. I mean, couldn't he have gone to Hooters, at least? Wouldn't Hooters be a step up from Dave & Buster's? Is Dave & Buster's a place where kids like to go play games?
Well, I mean, no, adults like to play games there.
Okay.
I mean,
it can get rough.
It just shows he wasn't looking for it, Drew. It came to him.
Well, a lot of people hit on this girl, as it turns out. As I said,
she was so
she was quite attractive. He just like fell for her. And I was trying to figure out, I was like, how did he fall so hard for her? Was McNair, I mean, was he, did he have CTE possibly?
Oh.
It was kind of weird because he was married to this really classy woman, Michelle, mm-hmm. who's also beautiful. And he had two little kids with her. And obviously that marriage was not in the best of places because, you know, as the story goes on, you hear that this girl, Jenny, is calling him all the time. It's like he's eating dinner with his family. Yeah, I'm eating dinner right now, you know. All right. And she'll call 5 minutes later. And the funny thing is that he answers the phone. Well, like, why is he answering the phone?
Donald Sterling always answered Vistaviano's even on, was it Christmas Eve? When they were having yes. Christmas dinner together, and he took the call and went out into the driveway to talk.
And got a huge argument, too. Then has to come back. What was that all about?
Doesn't do anything.
Sounds like we both got pussy problems.
I don't care. I didn't care.
So McNair immediately starts blowing her away with his wealth and fame, of course.
Mm-hmm.
He takes her on trips to Las Vegas, Key West, Los Angeles. He goes to Mississippi with her, which is his home. And then he is hanging out with her in Nashville, constantly going out to dinner, going to lunch, going drinking, just partying up a storm. And she's underage, too, which is
another
issue. But he meets her family, too, which tells me, well, he must have been serious about this dope.
Yeah, because he's not. If she was just a piece of ass for him, he's not going to meet the whole family, obviously.
And he says he's leaving his wife, which I kind of believe because I noticed that, you know, there's these moments where it'll be like, 10 o'clock and she's bitching at him to hurry up. And he's like, I got to get the kids to sleep, you know. And I'm thinking, well, he must just be bullshitting her or something because he doesn't want to go out. And then at 11 o'clock, he announces, I'll be there in a minute. And he just blows out the door, goes, parties with her, goes to his condo. He bought a condo.
I remember that part.
Convenient to downtown, which was just his party house and a couple of his buddies. They could all take chicks there. I mean, it's just
like the White House, kind of.
Yeah, like exactly.
The Cowboys had. Yeah.
I think they did a much better job than the Cowboys did, though, because the White House got way too loose. Too many people, bringing too many chicks, too many big parties, too much cocaine.
Except the White House was an actual house. This is a condo. I mean, more chance of getting busted.
Yeah, true. But Jenny didn't live in the condo. It was just McNair's condo, so he could take whoever he wanted there, and it turned out he did. So he's looking at houses with her. He's telling her he's going to marry her. And I'm thinking, boy, if this guy's just about to fade out of a marriage, you know, after he retires from football at that point in his life, does he really want to get married right away to this 19-year-old moron working at Dave and Buster's?
She must have been really hot.
She was. And that seems to be the
only thing I can.
The only answer
going through his head.
So many questions.
Both of his head, yeah.
So she also seems to have problems managing money because she doesn't like to work and she likes to go shopping and stuff. And so it seems that she'll text him and say like, oh, my God, I'm hyperventilating. I've got so many bills. And I don't know how I'm going to pay them. And actually, the truth is she wants to go shopping. And so he'll go, let me put some money in your account. And he'll just plunge a couple thousand bucks in her account.
I know. Why would she do that?
And the police use that to say that she's unstable because the day before she murdered him, or they believe she murdered him and herself, she had texted and said that she might have to go to the emergency room because she had so much anxiety. And her best friend said, oh, no, she just said shit like that to get money.
Okay.
She would just say that he would put money in her account.
That seems more likely, doesn't it?
Yeah. And that seemed to be, you know,
because it worked.
I know, and if I'm McNair, I'm like, hey, you know, if I can throw a couple of grand to shut up and stop calling me, I'll do it. As long as she fucks me. Sorry. I'm just, no, that's McNair's head. That's not my head.
No, I can see, yeah, sure.
I can relate to it, not because it's ever been a situation I've been in, but then, you know, she turns 20, so Steve's got to come up big, and he gets her an Escalade.
Oh, my God.
Makes a big payment on it, and then he's going to make the payments. And she says her girlfriends are like, you know, they're probably jealous as hell. Like, can't depend on him too much.
Yeah. Can you get us one?
He's just buying you. Well, Elvis would have bought her friends one.
No.
Elvis always did that.
He obviously never deserved to be murdered. However, he's taking a lot of really dumb steps along the way to be murdered.
No, it's amazing how stupid McNair is acting. That's what I was wondering about the CTE, because it just doesn't, some of this is
sure,
doesn't
no,
make
it,
sense.
It does kind of, you know, jive with what CTE does to a person.
And then she, after talking to her friend, she says, I want to be independent, so I'm going to make the payments. $700 a month, which means he put a fat down payment on. Gotcha, you can't get an Escalade for $700 a month. So she has a Kia that she pays $300 a month for. So then it becomes I've got two car payments. This is impossible. And then he would send money.
I bet you she sounded like that.
And then she has a girlfriend, and she's like, you don't have a car. Why don't you take my Kia and make the payments? And the girl's like, oh, okay, that sounds good. So she takes the Kia, and then 3 months later, Jenny gets word that your Kia is going to be repossessed because there have been no payments made in 3 months. So then she goes apeshit on the girl, of course. She's like, I can't afford it. And the girl, in a, this is like a Casey Anthony move, she abandons the car at a mall. Just abandons
well,
it. Like,
no one can find it. No one can find it then. Can't be repossessed.
And all I can think of as I'm listening to all this is like, how is Steve McNair mixed up in the middle of all this stupidity?
You know the answer.
I know. It's the same answer
pussy.
Every time.
It's pussy. Yeah.
So then the roommate moves out. So then it's like, oh, my God, I can't afford my rent. My rent is so expensive. I've got two car payments. And so she's like, let me just throw some money in your account. And
was, I mean, if he wasn't murdered, he's going to end up broke.
Her friend said the money would be in her account like that, too.
Really?
Would
cool.
Just, yeah, it was amazing.
That means he's in charge. He doesn't even have to call like an accountant.
I think he did have to make a call because did suggest that a couple times.
An accountant tell him to knock it off. Steve,
you probably got 10%. I'm going to start taking 10% so you'll learn your lesson, Steve.
The accountant was probably banging one of the friends.
So then, Jenny, there's a story. Jenny goes to Vegas with her girlfriends. She's like, I need to go with my girlfriend. She goes to Vegas, and she only has $32. Mm-hmm. And so the police use that to, oh, this girl's under so much stress, and she's only got $32 in Vegas. And her friend said, well, all she had to do was make a call to him. She wasn't really stressed about that stuff. But that was really a big part of the narrative at the time. Anyway, eventually, she decides that Steve is getting some ass on the side. Because she sees a really attractive girl whose name is Leah. Trudy's left her microphone, by the way. Is Trudy getting bored with the story?
I will have to find out when she comes back. Maybe she has to go pee.
I think it's a pretty interesting story.
Yeah. I mean, some people are ragging you on Facebook Live.
For what?
A lot of people.
Taking a long time to tell a story, but I'm intrigued.
All right, I'm cutting it off.
No,
go to hell. I'm going to read all the Facebook comments. I'm not finishing the story for that. Just for all you wise asses on Facebook.
But wait, I want
to
hear
teach
it.
You a lesson. Oh, Trudy's back.
Why don't we just kill the Facebook Live? Then I can hear the ending.
By the way, those of you on Facebook Live, because it does seem, how many we have on Facebook Live yesterday?
I don't know, 366 now.
No, I mean. The total views, actually.
Oh, I don't
know. I think it was like 15,000 today. It was pretty good. I mean, we don't usually draw that many because people download the show. But I've noticed a lot of new people on Facebook Live who, for whatever reason, really hadn't paid attention to us. I don't know. I guess people are just sharing it. And by the way, are you sharing this, please? Please share us with whoever you can. Anyway, I just wanted to point out that it would still be nice if you would download the show. Because then, first of all, we're not going to do Facebook for 2 hours every day.
Yeah.
This is kind of a coronavirus special edition of the show.
Well, as predicted, you know, you say that. Now there's all these people going, like Amy Simpson says, Drew, this is why you're not supposed to look at Facebook. Then Shannon says, I love your stories, Drew. Christopher says, $31 Vegas. And, and.
Kyle, you take forever to say nothing.
Rob, I wasn't dream weavering. So people do want you to finish. Amy wants to hear it now.
I just need to readjust. Can you take care of this?
Sure. What am I doing?
And I will heat up my coffee. Do we have Manscaped today, too?
We do. We have a boner line.
Maybe should we do the boner line, and then I'll finish the story when we get back, and I'll try and edit it down, for Christ's sake, for all you babies.
It's actually a special boner line today because this only consists of one caller. So what this boner line is, and I know you want to go run up
one
and
caller.
Take a duck, Drew, but
well, there's a reason.
This boner line is specific to forensic accounting. We have someone who has compiled everything that you want a forensic accountant for, and they rattle them all off.
Okay, I'm turning the speaker up upstairs, so I will hear it.
Whatever. Well, it'll be delayed.
But go ahead with, if you can take care of my bookie and Manscaped on the boner line.
A lot of pressure.
I will listen to it. I'm listening upstairs.
All right, well, let's start with my bookie then.
And regrouping from all the abuse. I'm tired of being bullied.
What a tortured individual.
Watch party's over.
He's canceling the watch party. Great. Hey, my bookie, they still want you to know that they exist. Sports has come to a screeching halt. Of course, everything's stopped with sports, so what are you going to gamble on? Although I have seen on there that you can gamble on esports. I mean, I know nothing about it, but if you want some action, there's some esports. But they also want you to stay sane and stay entertained with access to your favorite games in their casino, like blackjack, roulette, slots, war. I know they have three-card poker. They have Caribbean stud. Doesn't matter whether you're out in the front lines or quarantine at home, the fun doesn't have to come to an end with my bookie. My favorite squad sideline because of the pandemic. Don't even sweat it. My bookie's partner with some of the leading esports brands. I already said that. I'm not even listening to myself.
You can trust Good job.
Visit mybookie.ag and use this promo code. It's Drew Casino. It's a little different from the other promo code, but it's promo code Drew Casino. You can play in their casino and you'll get 150% bonus on your first casino deposit. That's promo code Drew Casino. You receive 150% cash bonus, and you can claim those extra funds all the way up to $750. So once again, activate that offer, promo code. I don't know if you guys remember it already or not. It's Drew Casino. You can spend a lot of time in the MyBookie Casino, too.
By the way, Drew's upstairs dropping his deuce, and he's commenting on Facebook.
What? Right,
I'm watching him respond to people.
He's probably I think he's hurt. He's very, very hurt. So my bookie's done.
Why are you guys bullying me?
Manscaped brings you this boner line. I'm very excited to hear this boner line, Brandon. If you're listening to the podcast, you're stuck in your house with your significant other, I want you guys to pay close attention. Manscaped can help you out and make the most of your time together as they promote clean hygiene when it comes to shaving your balls. It's time for quarantine, Manscaped, and chill. They're the only men's brand dedicated to below-the-waist grooming and hygiene. Of course, they have the Lawnmower 3.0, and that comes in the perfect package 3.0 kit. Brandon has it. I have it. I can't say enough good things about their trimmers. And they have other stuff like the Crop Preserver, the anti-chafing ball deodorant, and moisturizer. You can get it all. Subscribers get a new replacement blade refill for your lawnmower trimmer delivered to your door every 3 months, making sure your trimmer always stays fresh and clean. For a limited time, subscribers get not one, but two free gifts. Get the travel bag and the high-performance anti-chafing Manscaped Boxer Briefs. You can get 20% off and free shipping with the code DREW at manscaped.com. That's 20% off free shipping at manscaped.com. Once again, the code is DREW when you check out. Most people are loading up on toilet paper, but I'm loading up on Manscaped products. Help your relationship out during this quarantine, your partner, your body, and your bulls will thank you. And they bring you the boner line made by Brandon, emailed to me, that I can't find on my computer. Here it is.
Awesome.
Here we go.
Hey, Drew, I came up with a list of some of the things you wanted your forensic accountant to look into, and I wondered if he ever got back to you on these things yet. You were wondering if Martin Luther King's family really pays $80,000 a month in maintenance fees. Did Constantine and Cato Kalin both really lose their dogs the week before you lost Mag? Oh, and did Kevin Sorbo lose his dog a month before Mag? What was Boltman's actual reserve price for his costume? Did Christine Blasey Ford really raise $530,000 on her GoFundMe account? Did the bullying get worse for Aaron Carter after he got clean and sober and started making millions of dollars again? Did Casey Viner stop playing video games for 2 years? What were the two jobs the guy in Cops had? Did he really have two jobs? Did Kobe Bryant really babysit Peyton Manning's kids? Did Katie Sowers really boss the San Francisco 49ers around?
No, that one, no.
Did Frank King really have a gun in his mouth? And how many suitcases did he really carry? Did four biker fans really block Air Supply's path? Did the 9-year-old speaking out on immigration really come up with all that on his own? Meghan Markle and Prince Harry's charities, where's that money going? Did Poroshkova really put all her modeling earnings into her marriage to Okasik? Did he look into why Brandon was needed for the trip to Art Van? Was it really closed? How long did he wait in the car, and where was Kristen? Were there really emails to Jay Towers requesting Christmas music? Did Rudy Galbert really lose his sense of taste and smell? And it probably is too soon for this answer, but what was the actual number of cops that surrounded Righteous Rick, and did Special Force members actually tackle him?
Wow. Who is that, Brandon? Do you know who she is that put the list together?
I think that she's called in the past to basically say that she will be the forensic accountant, but I don't think she got a response. So thank you for that. I appreciate it. In fact, after today's show, I'm actually going to we had a guy who called, I want to say 12 times on Friday night, Saturday morning from like midnight to 2 a.m. He just kept calling. All of his calls were all in a row and it was just kind of random. And so I just pieced all his calls together.
Good.
And I'm just going to play it because the guy obviously spent the entire night with us in one way, shape or form, probably listening to some shows. And I just want him to know that we did listen and we're going to play it because it's funny. That'll be at the end of the show.
Good. I like drunk calls.
Yeah, he was wasted. That's wow. That's my theory.
I'm impressed not only at the fact that she mentioned all of those times a forensic accountant was asked for, but I thought the requests were really good.
Mm-hmm.
How many people did Regis Rick say he was surrounded by? 20? Was it 20?
Believe it or not, I don't remember. I'm sure that's one of the Rick things that went in one ear and out the other.
I'm sure Rick will respond on Facebook Live.
Part of your watch party? Did you invite him into your watch party?
He was invited. I haven't seen him yet, though, but maybe he arrives late to be fashionable. Okay. So Jenny, Steve McNair's...
Oh, yeah. She's the girl in Vegas. That murdered him. This is where we left off.
Jenny, this is going to get better, by the way. Those of you who wanted me to just skip over everything, fine. You're going to be sorry.
It was fine.
When you hear the development that's coming up. Jenny feels that Steve is getting some ass on the side for a few reasons. One, she's a super hot girl, Leah Agnani, I think her name is, coming out of the condo one night. She starts stalking her, following her around in the black Escalade. The girl says, there's a black Escalade everywhere I go. What's going on? Then she finds, a used tampon.
Oh.
And it was not apparently her time. So
how did he get out of that lie?
I don't think she confronted him, which is weird. Then she
had daughters. Can you see him blaming his daughter?
Oh, he didn't have any daughters. He didn't have any.
Maybe he blamed Isaiah Thomas's daughter.
You know what's really funny?
He's a good scapegoat.
This is going to sound terrible, but when I was reading about Steve McNair, I was thinking, wow, he married his girlfriend from college, and he just had these two kids, and it just didn't seem very NFL-ish to me. Mm. And then I found out that his two other grown kids by two other
people.
It's crazy. That's neither here nor there. So he's getting very annoyed with Jenny because she calls him all the time. He's getting ass on the side big time. And so that's the narrative, is that, well, she got pissed. He's getting all this ass. She found, condom wrappers, too.
God.
Yeah, so he's not even being careful. Come on, McNair.
Well, I mean, he is being careful.
He's using condoms.
He's being very careful.
No, but he's leaving the wrappers around, and he's not even checking for,
Hey, the step one is getting him to use the condom. Step two is throwing them and the wrappers away.
I regret saying this, but
yes,
I have to say it. I thought it was, I was kind of surprised that he had a girl in the condo who was on her period. I would have thought he would have had a forensic accountant find out that she was on the rag and then would have said, I got something came up.
Send her to the menstrual condo.
Another 3 days of this.
Two doors down, the menstrual condo.
So then also irritating Jenny is that 2 days before she allegedly killed McNair and herself, she got a DUI with McNair in the passenger seat.
Oh.
And so This is the weird part, is that they played some audio of her with the cop and stuff, and she's like flirty with the cop, and she's he reveals that, and I didn't do this either, that he's the same cop that pulled McNair over for a DUI.
Oh.
And I can't imagine how wasted was Steve McNair have to be to get a DUI. He had to be hammered.
Yeah.
So and she's all, oh my God, that's incredible. I mean, she just doesn't seem that bummed out. However, she is
world, huh?
She is mad. She is mad when she's in the middle of her sobriety test and Steve just takes a cab. I got to take off. Hey, you can be busy for a while.
That was a great move by McNair.
Okay,
right.
Yeah. That's cool
time
move.
Time management.
I thought it was, what else is he going to do? Just hang around, watch your family? Right.
No, that's why he's a quarterback. He leads.
And what the hell? She's flirting with the cop after he leaves anyway.
Yeah. He was of no use to the cop or her.
Anyway,
what a great move by him, man.
It's pretty cool. In the end, they decide that, she's so upset about this myriad of things, the being in debt, the bills, the bill collectors, Steve taking a cab from the DUI, Steve getting all this other ass, and on and on and on. And so that's why she bought a gun from this guy the day before she killed him and herself, and that's the way the story goes. But it's a little more complicated. Her sister Amanda says that Jenny was, she really didn't think she was that capable of violence because, of course, her mother was murdered at 9, and you know she had, she just wasn't really, she's the kind of person that couldn't, I don't know really how to explain it. She just didn't think she was capable. Neither did her friends either. Her friends didn't think she was that upset. They said that, you know, she was making noise about, you know, I might move to Pittsburgh. This thing with Steve isn't going to work out, blah, blah, blah. Then it turns out these friends start revealing that, man, there were a lot of swinging dicks around Jenny.
Nice.
In fact, when she found the used tampon, she immediately contacted some dude to get Steve back, who was a former Titan. Tennessee Titan. Yeah.
Who was, it? Did they name him?
No, they didn't. There's another Titan coming up, though. But there was a lot of Titan dick and Hurricane dick around her. I mean, all she right. was just, there was just a lot of sports dick in her orbit. So anyway, then she reveals that she had a fling with Vince Young.
Really?
Yes. Oh, while God. She was banging Steve McNair.
Was it Vince Young or was it the imposter Vince Young that was 40 years older?
It was Vince Young, and this girl said she was even at Vince Young's house a few times, which is quite impressive, of course. And so then they quickly tell us that Vince Young says that this is absolutely not true. He doesn't even know her. But Jenny's best friend said that I'm pretty sure there was a fling because I was in the next room when it was going on.
What a narc.
And apparently it was stuffing her pretty good because I guess it was pretty loud. So anyway, Vince was Vince was having his little friction fest with her, and meanwhile she had other guys around her too. In fact, the guy that sold her the gun, that's another story. This is really another. I'm going down another avenue here, but oh, this guy I was completely fascinated by. His name was Adrian Gilliam. And
Gilliam,
we think he's just the guy who sold the gun to the idiot 20-year-old that McNair is banging, who would shoot him and kill him. But it turns out he's more than that. He, first of all, he got her phone number. He acted like, I don't even know her name, and you know, and all this. And then, once they determine what happened here, she got the gun from him, she killed him. They go back because people are saying, hey, you didn't get the straight dope from this guy, and they feel they didn't either. So they re-interview him. And it turns out that he's all over her phone. He calls her or texts her 200 times in the last 3 weeks of her life. And this guy just happens to be, okay, he's got convictions for auto theft, burglary, auto theft again, burglary again. Then during Hurricane Andrew, he steals a car, and he and his buddies decide, hey, let's go rob some houses, hold some people hostage, you know, whatever. So they rob the first house where they tie up this woman and her granddaughter, and they steal $20,000 in jewelry and money. And they get to the second house, and they're going to do the same thing, and they get in a gun battle with the homeowner.
What?
Yeah. The homeowner happened to have a gun, and so... Anyway, in the crossfire, his friend was shot, and I guess the homeowner was killed.
Oh, boy.
And he got 17 years in prison, and he was such a good prisoner. He was such a wonderful prisoner that they just decided, what? Let's let you out after 9 years and see how long you can go without committing a crime.
Sure. How long did he go?
Well, he didn't go that long because he sold her a gun.
The gun.
He bought a gun, and then he sold her this gun, which she used to murder McNair and herself. And I wanted to look up today, did Adrian Gilliam go to prison for this? Because I'm betting he didn't. I'm just going to bet my life that he probably got some probation or something. But, I mean, isn't it amazing? You can just steal cars. You can rob houses. You can steal more cars, rob more houses. You can go in during a hurricane and rip people off and tie them up. And you go to second house, get in a gun battle with somebody. And 9 years later, you're out.
Okay, he was arrested, at least. I don't know if he was convicted.
Well, this is Florida, right?
No, this is in Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah. Oh, the South. Okay.
So anyway, he gets out of prison, and he's out of prison like 2 months. And he knocks a girl up.
Oh, boy.
Which, I mean, I'm sure it's a wonderful child. I mean, we all love the cycle of humanity is a beautiful thing.
He was putting...
Back then, they didn't have these fancy birth control methods. Pull him out.
He was put in prison. Care to guess for how long he was sentenced to? I don't know how long he served, but how long he was sentenced to?
A year?
Nope. Two and a half.
Two and a half? Okay.
It's not bad.
I'm surprised.
How long he served. Well, I mean, he had passed.
Sure, he didn't spend two and a half in there. I'm sure he's doing great things now. I'm sure he learned his lesson.
Raising that child.
And thankfully, that child, he's going to avoid, he's going to want that child to have a better life and avoid all the mistakes that he made. And he's going to spend all kinds of time with him. And it's going to be a very happy story.
Maybe that child will be an athlete and can follow in Steve McNair's footsteps.
Amen. Sorry, actually, he really just
said. I'm telling you, that baby could be the star of a show called Babies I Don't Care About.
That is a stereotype, Brandon.
That baby's ugly.
So, anyway, when he knocks this girl up before all this business with the gun happened, he was selling Kias for a dealership, a guy who was kind enough to hire a, you know, a murderer to sell Kias.
He's the Joe Exotic of the dealership world.
And so what happens? He gets fired.
What?
And he sues the dealership for discrimination. And he wins.
Oh, man, this guy knows how to play all the games, man. Kind of admiring him.
He won $200,000, so we know there's a happy ending.
He invested it wisely.
He carefully invests it.
Started a 529 for that child.
Exactly.
Great.
And everything is all gold going forward. The truth of the matter is, he blew the money out his ass. Blew it out his ass.
What did he spend it on?
God, no, I'm sure. Chains, chicks. Tattoos, chicks, I mean, whatever. By the way, when he got the phone number from the girl who would murder McNair, he was engaged.
Wait, McNair got murdered? Spoiler alert.
Sorry. He was trying to hit on her, and he was engaged at the time. And the reason he said he lied to the police when he said, I don't even know her name. We just hooked up. I sold her the gun because I needed money real bad. And he did. He apparently was totally broke. So broke, he wanted to sell this gun for $100.
Oh, man.
Which apparently was true. He really was that broke. But anyway, he's trying to get it on with Jenny the whole time. Yeah. And Jenny,
I assume every guy in her orbit's trying to get it on with her.
Absolutely.
A lot of them successfully, it sounds like.
Yes, absolutely. She was texting regularly with four people besides McNair, four dudes who wanted a piece of her and some of whom had a piece of her the last couple weeks of her life. So, let's see.
That makes the ending, I don't know, it gives me a question about the ending, though.
I had the same questions. Like, what, this girl who's laughing when she gets a DUI. In fact,
nothing bothered her. So why in the end did she?
Well,
spoiler, kill herself too, and him.
I thought. I'm curious to listen to the other podcast. I haven't heard the whole thing, but the girlfriend, her one of her best friends, who's they use audio from her in the podcast. She says. She called her the morning after the DUI, which was the morning before the night that she would kill Steve McNair and herself. And she says, I got a DUI. It's crazy. And Steve's going to take care of it.
Oh, man.
She was, in fact,
he took care of everything for her. Why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't she expect that?
The girl was never worried about anything. And McNair's money and connections took care of all her problems. And her friend was appalled. She was like, you got a DUI. That's a big deal. You sound like you're not worried about it. She's like, no, I'm not worried about it because Steve's going to take care of it.
Yeah.
So anyway, as this is going on, these people, these dudes she's texting with, Vince Young's banging her. McNair's banging her. All this crazy stuff is going on. Any hot dude with the Titans or Hurricanes that's in her orbit that needs friction, boom, there she is. So
now, when you say Hurricanes, you mean Miami Hurricanes?
What's the hockey Carolina Hurricanes?
The Panthers or the Predators?
What's the
Nashville Predators?
Was that the hockey team's name?
Yeah,
I don't know why I was thinking they were the Hurricanes. Okay, my bad.
Because I think you got Hurricane Andrew stuck in there.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, her her ex boyfriend suddenly enters the mix. His name is Keith Norfleet. And he starts calling her, and she starts calling him back. Oh my God, I'm so stressed. I got two car leases, and he wants to help her financially too.
Oh wow, so the same stories work on multiple guys. That's nice.
Yeah, she's got quite a thing going there, and he tells her all kinds of things about McNair, and you know, I want to talk to his wife, and I want to tell her what's going on because he loves me. He doesn't care about her, and he's trying to. I don't think it's such a good idea.
Yeah, I would say so.
And, until. Until she gets the DUI, and she says, she calls up the ex-boyfriend like, I got a DUI. Can you go pick up my car? It's like, I love the way your world works. Just call your tool ex-boyfriend, you know, who's so worried about your tool curlies.
Wait a sec. Did he?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's why.
He did. Everyone does, because she's hot.
And what he really should have said is...
What? What? I couldn't hear that last part. The connection just got really bad. Thanks a lot, though. Okay.
By the way, the Facebook comments are great. Did Ron Mexico hit it?
Oh, yeah.
I want to see her team photo. I bet she's got a hell of a team photo.
Nice team photo.
My God, it probably looks like a professional football team.
Well, all quarterbacks, though.
True. Yeah, she was picky. So this guy, Keith, her ex-boyfriend,
Keith,
he goes to get the Escalade, and she says, Keith's in the glove box. And he gets there, and he's like,
the keys are in the glove box.
And they're like, the keys are not in the fucking glove box. Oh, the keys are never in the glove box. And they're like, where are the keys? They're over in this building. And so this guy's on a big fucking runaround. And he's talking to the cop. In the meantime, the cop's like, your boyfriend? And he goes, I'm her ex-boyfriend. We're talking a lot. And he goes, I thought the other guy in the car was her boyfriend. And he's like, oh, yeah, you know about the other guy? And he goes, probably. And
this is gossipy cop.
I know, it's gossipy cop. He's like,
officer gossip.
He goes, plays for the Titans.
Come on, just let it out, dude. You knew it was McNair.
Which, by the way, was not accurate. He wasn't playing for the Titans. Yeah, he played past tense for the Titans. And the guy goes, Steve McNair, I know. So the guy's like, okay, well, just wanted you to know, she's not your girlfriend.
Well, did you hear the one about Vince Young? Isn't that weird for the officer to say that?
I know there's a lot of weird stuff.
Hashtag slut.
Cops do like.
I know they're people.
They do. So Keith then sends the Tennessean, which is the big sports section there, the big paper newspaper. Mm-hmm. He sends the sports section a message that. Gee, doesn't seem like you guys are covering that Steve McNair was involved in a DUI with a 20-year-old girl.
What a jerk.
I thought Steve McNair was married.
What a dick.
The Tennessean never really acted on this or even seemed to check it out because he was murdered
the next day. Oh, he was murdered the next day.
Yikes. She got the DUI. I think it was 2 days before she died. There's video of her, you know, doing the in the cop car and the police station.
How'd she look?
Got some... She looked pretty damn good, actually.
Nice.
But she's just not that upset about it. So I don't know.
Is a little weird. I don't think anybody else did it, though.
I don't know what to think. This guy...
Who would have a motive to kill both of them?
I don't fucking know. The guy, though, who sold her the gun, you know, he lied to the cops about... You know, I don't even know what her name was. And then, you know, when they came back through and they had all the text messages and they said, we think you might have known her a little better. And he was real sketchy about it and really not revealing anything. Then they said, we've got about 200 text messages and phone calls between the two. And it's like, oh, well, yeah, she was flirting with me and she was hitting on me. And the cop said.
Why would you want to be with the hoe?
The cop said. Actually, no. I think you wanted to hit it, and you were the one really pushing the issue. She was just, you know, kind of going along with it. But he was the aggressive one.
So the idea is that this guy killed McNair and her?
To what end? I don't see why. Maybe he thought there was stuff in the apartment or the condo. I don't know. I don't know what to think. But let me ask you this, and if this is for anybody. When McNair was murdered, he was laying back on the couch, almost looked relaxed, like he'd been sleeping. Yeah. And she was wearing this little nightie, this little pink nightie with shorts.
Nice.
It looked to me like it might have been a little see-through. Yeah. And I thought, is that something a girl... I mean, granted, this girl knows how hot she is.
Nice.
She loves dudes. She's boy crazy, as her friends describe her.
Slut.
That too. Would she choose to kill herself in something like that just to leave the world like, hey, I'm the hottest chick, leave me alone. Boom.
Well, I bet you she probably didn't give much thought to what she was wearing. She probably killed herself after killing McNair. Like, oh, now what do I do? Well, this is over.
Trudy?
What if his wife did it? Put a hit on him.
Well,
She would have motive to kill him and the little girl in the nightie.
Wouldn't they have found that, though? The detectives
think so, but
why can't
they
prove murder or suicide then?
This is the biggest gripe that the detectives who worked on this on the outside have, is that they wrapped this thing up in 3.5 days. This thing was signed, sealed, delivered, red bow. She killed him, shot herself, boom, done.
I know, but I hate that. How often do you see they focused on the wrong guy too long, or it's because that's what the evidence pointed them to? I mean, if they wrapped it up because maybe it was that obvious that it was a murder-suicide to them.
I'm not convinced that they don't have it absolutely right, but I just I thought that what she was wearing was a little weird. I don't know. Does that make any sense at all?
You might dress up because for your suicide, possibly. Guys,
here, let me just make it a little more clear. They said that she bought the gun from this guy the day before that. In other words, she planned the murder. So she planned what she was wearing. She planned it. It was all, you know, what she decided to do. So did she put on this hot little number, decide that, hey, give the cops a treat when they come in because I'm so hot?
Maybe.
I thought it was possible.
Maybe.
I didn't know.
Maybe she wanted to be comfortable while committing suicide and a murder.
Possibly. Yeah, they made it sound like they felt that she was trying to shoot herself so she would land in his lap. His wife would have to know that they were...
How poetic.
Yeah, anyway.
Wow. Yay.
All right. So,
good story.
I killed Facebook Live.
Oh, wait, there's more?
No, there's not more.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it could make
no. I meant to the show.
Okay, second down and 9.
How far in are we?
Hour 25.
Okay,
actually, less than that.
Should we?
Facebook Live numbers are still fine. They're 312.
Well, fuck you.
We should kill it, but
Larry.
Facebook Live numbers are falling during the story.
Larry.
I got two quick things for you.
Okay, what do you got?
Number one. Excuse me. Number one. You had mentioned kind of right out of the gate, the Gary Graff room. It did not go unnoticed by people of the Boner Line. I just wanted to throw one more quick Boner Line out here. It's just one message.
Hey, guys. I saw Gary Graff on Fox 2 News. They interviewed him. Either he has a room of skank or a house of skank. He has a hoarding problem. You see all that paperwork and shit? I mean, you could barely walk through that room that he was sitting in. I was like, holy crap. He's got more shit up to his probably chest full of stuff. That room looked like a disaster. Check it out. Fox 2 this morning. Thursday morning. Peace.
Yeah, I didn't want to use the H word, but it looks a little hoardish. Definitely a bit hoardish.
The other thing I had for you, so we all miss Anne-Marie LaFlame. She is...
Is she doing anything? Has she been active on Instagram or anything?
Well, I did see today that she lost a member of her family, so...
Oh, no.
Very sad for her. But it did kind of remind me to kind of go and check on maybe how the replacement's doing on Instagram. So, Allie Hoxie, she's kind of front and center right now. And it did not take long for the people who loved Anne Marie to also love Allie.
Oh, no. Oh,
don't tell
so
me.
Fickle.
Good Morning Dimples is over on Allie's page now.
So, I didn't see that specific account, but what I did was I just decided to check out the Instagram page. And it turns out the comments, they're right along those lines. The very first picture that I saw, I clicked on it and boom. Damn, girl. You've always been so gorgeous. You're stunningly beautiful.
Oh, God.
There was one that I saw. I can't find it yet because I wish I was quarantined with you. Here it is. Can you come quarantine with me?
Oh, topical.
I want to give you multiple diseases.
My baby, Hoxie.
Oh, man.
You looked amazing back then. You still look amazing now.
This is her high school graduation photo?
I think what happened is she jumped on that, that thing online where you're posting the 2020.
Because
the 2020 graduates who don't get to, you know, partake in anything cool like their prom or their graduation, people are posting
They're posting
pictures of their own
cool
high school graduations in support of the 2020.
What a neat idea. Thank you, online.
I do feel for some of the 2020 graduates because a lot of them spent money on a bunch of stuff.
So, you know, it's funny. My nephew graduated this year. He has no prom, no commencement, none of that stuff. He just doesn't care. Not a big deal to him. It's his mom that's upset. And that makes a lot more sense if it's your kid.
Marcus has a daughter who graduated in 2020. And
so it's more about the parents than the
kids. A lot of money for a dress for prom. He shelled out money in preparation for graduation
party. But thankfully,
much is going to be refunded.
Does Marcus feel better that all these strangers online are posting their senior photos? Does that make him feel better?
I don't think I don't know.
It's pointless. It's all look at me. So go ahead.
I want to say this. Damn. I didn't even go to my college graduation.
They're talking about high school. I wish I didn't go to my college graduation.
Would my college graduation be at least equal to their high school graduation?
What?
No.
Did you go to your high school graduation?
Yeah.
Well, that's what they're talking about.
Okay.
Yeah. A lot of people don't go to their college graduation.
All right. I hope they're okay. I hope they can get past
You're
it.
Sexy as fuck. I bet you were a cheerleader and very popular in school.
Oh, what an asshole.
Oh my God. Hey, if you're single, I'd like to ask you on a date.
Click on him. Click on him. Let's see him. Let's vet him. Will you click on that one? I want to see what his Instagram looks like. Oh, boy.
Let's see. Oh, these guys are so
bad. What a cool profile photo, first of all. He's very pensive looking.
Where is he, Mark? Let me see.
Well, it looks like he's got great command of spelling. Read his bio there, Brandon. Dude. Yeah.
Just without the T. All right. Just because you follow you and like your photos does not mean I'm going to buy you a damn thing, especially iTunes, Google, or Steam cards. Huh? Whatever that
is. Well, he's hitting on Ali Hoxie and he's not going to buy her anything? Let's see his pictures.
He's getting nowhere with Ali Hoxie. Nowhere. He's going back to the bench. He's thrown out of the game.
He doesn't have a chance.
No, I don't think he has
any other gems in there, Brandon?
Oh my God, you're so pretty. You look so much like your mom.
Wow, is he handsome? He sure thinks so.
Is your senior picture a cover of Vogue magazine?
Oh my God. This reminds me.
You look so great.
As I was reading about McNair and Jenny, I just couldn't decide who's dumber here. They're both such complete morons.
I think she's an opportunist, but she is a murderer.
Yeah, but
he's pretty stupid.
He's pretty stupid. These guys though
could have head injuries. So.
Yeah,
true. It's possible.
Very likely.
You know, that's a good excuse for getting a lot of action on the side going, I think I got CTE. My MS control is just gone. I have no control.
It's legitimate.
I need a strange piece of ass all the time, just like JFK.
They can't diagnose me until I'm dead. Just go rampage.
You got to stay with me. I'm really down.
It's funny when Drew was telling me about this off the air, the story, much more succinctly than on the air, but when he was telling me about it, what's going on? So we were talking about McNair, and I said, wait a sec. Let me think. I remember where I was when he died. Did he die around the same time as Michael Jackson? And sure enough, you said it was both 2009.
Yeah, they were.
I think McNair might have been, a week later?
They were pretty close.
Yeah, yeah. I just think that's really funny that they were both connected like that in a timeline, which led to a discussion about, what did you call Jackson?
The world's most prolific pedophile.
You said he was a Hall of Famer.
I thought that he was probably an
easier. He's a Michael Jordan of pedophiles.
He's an easier Hall of Fame pedophile than rock and roll Hall of Fame.
So instead of
he earned his way into the pedophile Hall of Fame quicker than he did the rock and roll Hall of Fame.
So you have the king of pop. You'd also be the king of pedophiles.
I thought so because he had to groom the entire world. He did. He groomed the entire world. Everything he said was to groom us. You know from. Which was it?
But what my favorite sport is water balloon fights.
I mean, who says that? No one.
But he didn't nearly molest as many kids as Jimmy Savile did. The children's.
My favorite sport is a water balloon fight.
The TV kids TV host in England. I mean, he groomed his whole audience.
But did Jimmy Savile have a whole I mean, an amusement park in his yard.
Nobody had a TV
and a
show.
Pinball room and video game room and all that stuff. Jackson, I mean, this is after he's paid someone $23 million to drop their claims. He's been charged with child molestation, and he's still taking 12-year-olds out on tour there, and people are going, oh, he's just reliving his childhood. I mean, his grooming was amazing.
I'm not denying the merit of him being a Hall of Fame pedophile. I'm just saying Seville can give him a run for his money, as could Gary Glitter.
True. Oh.
I mean, he groomed a lot of people.
I think Jackson, it's kind of weird. I think he fell in love with these kids.
Ugh.
Didn't seem like it kind of? But he can only be in love for a certain amount of time as soon as, you know.
aren't we all? I'm just kidding. Julie, I'm just kidding.
It just seems that as soon as, I don't know what the turning point was. I didn't want to think about it, but.
Pubes.
Probably.
I'm not joking. It's probably pubes.
That one kid who he was molesting, according to, what's the Neverland doc?
Oh.
Leaving Neverland. That guy, he's an adult describing, you know, he hasn't seen Jackson in 6 months. He comes back, and there's another little guy who's 10 who he's just all over this kid, giving him everything. He's spending the night. He's staying in his room. He's having water balloon fights with him. And the kid was jealous. Yeah. Of the 10-year-old.
Well,
oh, my God. That story was so weird.
Aura Jackson. Yeah. Jackson power.
So DMC we talked about yesterday because they had let go 450 people and the idea of a hospital. And people go, hospitals are crazy busy. But it turns out, you know, hospitals are losing their ass because they're not doing the surgeries they would normally do. Anything they can put off, they're putting off. So anyway, somebody wrote me and said, well, I'm sure it sounds weird, and, you know, we're kind of surprised, too, because I believe it was either he or his wife worked for DMC, but he said that they stopped matching employees' 401ks a couple weeks ago.
In COVID times?
Yes, 2 weeks ago. No, 2 weeks ago they said, we are suspending matching 401ks, and we, you know, we'll restore it when the time is right. And he's, of course, saying, yeah, well, that means who knows?
Never,
when.
Yeah.
Possibly never.
COVID-19!
Oh, my God, that sucks. Oh, that reminds me. There was there's a song somebody sent me that, let's see, who did the...
The one Lauren sent?
Yeah, with the pastor.
Yeah. Didn't we play that one? You got it, too.
Yeah. Didn't we play that?
We played it the other day. Yeah. But
thanks you and Lauren for listening to the podcast.
Oh, boy.
Here, let me find it.
That was a pretty good tune.
I have so many coronavirus songs, and I'm trying to find.
Bitch, you got coronavirus.
This is still the gold standard.
You got coronavirus. We ain't finna do shit.
You know why this one's the best is because it's an original. It's not a parody. It's not using other audio to make a song. I mean,
it's not this.
Give it up.
Is this a fever?
Oh God.
Is this just allergies?
One of our listeners, I played this one briefly the other day. One of our listeners, his son went to school with the kid who made this.
Coronavirus!
Kind of like this one.
Coronavirus!
Yeah, I was referring to Kenneth Copeland's Wind of God.
Yep.
Is that what we played?
Yeah, I'm gonna... Let's see. Because he does... Here it is.
To the state of Maine, to Brownsville, Texas, and the trip of four. Today, we speak to this atmosphere. Today, burn this thing. This virus hates heat. You just burn this thing. Burn. I call for a supernatural heat wave straight out of hell. Burn. COVID-19. I'm blue.
Oh, I just love the guys repeating after him. Who are the biggest, who are bigger assholes? Him or the people going, COVID-19?
The other people.
I think so, too.
I vote for him.
Well, yeah, he's the king asshole. He's That's
making,
a tough one.
Yeah, making hey, him all
we
do
We could
it.
Argue for hours about this.
Don't hate the player, hate the game.
I hate
both of them.
I don't feel like religion has looked real good during this thing.
No, and you know the guy down in Baton Rouge who...
Oh, yeah, Tony Spell?
Yeah, who once again had... full congregation.
Yeah, of course. He wants to fill that thing up all he can every time, and now he's asking for people to send him their stimulus checks yep. because they haven't been able to, you know, what do they call it? They haven't had offerings lately, so yep. he needs the money.
Yep, which is pretty despicable. And then it turns out...
I bet this guy lives so fucking high on the hog. How dare he? How dare any of these people suggest that they need your money at a time like this especially?
Well, he might need a new lawyer, too, because his lawyer has tested positive for COVID-19 and is hooked up to oxygen right now. So
whoa.
I guess he's going to say that his lawyer deserved it, because that's basically what he said. If you get it, that's just God.
Did you guys hear about the Roy Halladay story?
Yeah.
Is that an old story?
No, it's you not, know, it's it? New because I think the NTSB came out with their official yeah. report. I think we knew a lot about it. We knew he had some drug issues and drug problems, but they confirmed that he was on amphetamines and morphine.
Yeah, amphetamines, morphine. What's the sleepy thing, the sleep drug that's crazy?
Ambien.
And I think there were a couple more. Lorazepam, which is Valium.
Yeah, he had uppers and downers.
He went to rehab twice for Valium. And his father, who is Roy Jr., Roy Halladay III, I think it is. And his father's Roy Jr., which is like, I was so confused. It took me an hour to figure that one out. How is his dad Roy Jr.? That's impossible! But Roy Jr. was quite aware of what was going on and was telling him, you're not mixing these medications with flying, are you? Because he was a pilot and he was a very serious pilot, and Roy had only been a pilot since 2012.
Yeah.
An echo?
Yeah, there's been a slight echo. I don't
Should
know.
Should we dump out of Facebook, by the way, so people have to download us?
We are off of Facebook.
Oh, we are?
Yeah, I'm not sure what the echo is or where it's coming from.
Well, do you want me to cut it off? Because the...
Are you taking the blame, Trudy? Are you looking for an easy way out?
No, but I have a microphone out of sync, which makes me sound a little drunk.
Yeah. Well, it makes you sound fine. I think that might be the cause of the echo.
You think it is?
Yeah, but I don't want you leaving. It's tolerable. I think it's tolerable.
How did it start just now?
I heard it a while ago, but I didn't really care. I don't think it doesn't bother me that much. It's kind of like
high tolerance for these kind of things now.
I took it to Geek Squad, had some incel fix it.
Right.
Well, eight shows a week, I can kind of, believe me, these aren't the least of technical problems that we've dealt with. The interesting thing in the NTSB story about Roy Halladay, I didn't know, we knew he was doing crazy maneuvers that day.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that 2 weeks before the crash, he had flown under Tampa Bay's iconic Skyway Bridge.
Which he was bragging about.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Didn't he tweet about it or something?
Yeah, he was. And wasn't this plane or whatever he was flying, isn't it kind of a new type of plane? It's an Icon A5.
It was a prototype, yeah, right?
Yeah, and so he was flying it under this bridge that only has a clearance of 180 feet. So he was a pretty irresponsible pilot to begin with. So, and yeah, that plane was so experimental that the guy that designed the plane also died in a plane crash with that plane. So,
wow.
Yeah, sad story.
Yeah, it's just, there's something so pathetic about it. Like, why does this guy have to be an adrenaline freak? He's taking...
Because he can't get on the mound anymore, man.
The amount of speed he was taking was insane, it sounded like.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's that.
Adrenaline junkie, I guess. Yeah, Brandon, you can close that. I don't know if that'll help the echo or hurt the echo.
Still... Oh, I don't hear you go now.
It's there. Today. I consider myself so. Hey, I got an email from the University of Michigan that says, "Dear season ticket holders," and then of course they pretend like they care about our health and COVID and all that. But they get to fake. I know it's totally fake. But they get to the meat of it, and they says, over the last several weeks, we have worked to adjust timelines and policies due to this unique and rapidly changing landscape. Many of you have questions how an alteration or cancellation of the season might expect you. So that means they're expecting the season to be canceled right now, or at least planning for it.
I can't imagine that it won't be canceled.
If any of our sports seasons were to be canceled in 2020-2021, we have made temporary changes to our refund policy to provide the following options for both your perceived seat contributions, that's the seat license, and the season tickets. Full refund. They can offer you a full refund, which is huge.
Well, I will take my full refund because they took my money when I asked for the $500 seats and got the $250 seats. And when I asked for my refund, they said, you don't ask Blue Cross for a refund, would you?
So you get a full refund. You can transfer the payment to the next season.
Oh, so, that's nice. Thanks.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I'll worry about that next season.
If it's already budgeted for and it's gone, and then you get the money next season. Or
and it's gone.
I like that they give you all these options where they can keep your money. That's so nice of them.
Well, and the third one is the one that I predicted upstairs, Drew, in the rumor of this happening.
Mm-hmm.
You can change the allocation of payment to a tax-deductible athletic donation.
Oh, nice.
In other words, they can keep it, but now you can write it off.
Why would that change?
Dicks.
What do you mean, why would that change?
Why would the designation of it being tax-deductible or not change?
Well, it's not tax-deductible. A seat license anymore, that's part of Trump's tax code. You can't write that off.
So how does the donation change that makes it deductible?
They say, well, this isn't allocated for a seat license. This is now allocated as a donation to
Then why don't they ask us to give a donation so we can write it off anyway?
I'm with you.
Wouldn't that be nice?
I'm with you.
There must be some reason they lose money in that deal.
Probably.
I predict.
Probably. But at least they're doing it. At least there's some communication as to you can get your money back or push it forward.
Well, between losing the Final Four, losing football season, and the the increasing pressure to pay the people who are generating the income, I think there's going to be a lot of people in those big fancy buildings who are going to be looking at maybe some new form of employment or maybe reduced pay or something.
Yeah,
I mean it's kind of silly the way they.
Hey Trudy, let me ask you this: is your tablet have its volume up? Is that what the Echo is?
The Surface. Let me see.
It's driving Brandon nuts. Like he's got his head in his hand.
I don't know if I'm hearing it worse than others, but I can't really participate.
Really? Oh, you probably are hearing it worse then. It's just something on a delay.
No, I don't. See it. Hang on. I have to back out of the Zoom.
Oh, my gosh.
Technology. Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The echo's gone. No, echo's back.
Yep. I still hear it.
So you turned it all the way down and you couldn't hear me, right?
No, because your mic's going through something else. On your Surface, just make sure the volume's all the way down. Although the Surface is muted anyway, but if the audio is going to, whatever. If there's a loop somewhere.
Okay, so I couldn't hear you.
Are you listening through the Surface?
Yeah.
Oh, is there a monitor in that studio that's up?
Jack.
You think it
just turned that down.
You think it would have been up the whole time, though?
I mean, it was there the whole time. It just, for some reason, has gotten worse. I don't know why.
So, okay. Do you hear it now?
No, I don't hear the echo now.
Oh, maybe it was the headphone jack.
Hello? Today?
That solved the other problem.
Brandon, is it okay? Is your head out of your hands?
It's better.
Sorry.
It's not your fault. Hey, this is the new normal.
I didn't know the board headphone jack needed to be turned. See, now
it's the new
lag
normal,
is back.
And it's above my pay grade.
I think we should just blow the audio issues right out.
Yeah.
He fixed it.
Oh, I thought I heard
good job, Copeland.
I think I heard an echo a little bit. Just a baby one. Is anybody interested in the 15 big hits by rock bands that were not sung by the lead singer?
Ooh, yeah.
And I'm not talking about Sammy Hagar and David Lee Roth or John Lennon, Paul McCartney.
Beth
is on the list.
Pretty much a bunch of songs from the Cars.
Well, that doesn't count, because they have two lead singers.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Let me see the list.
Ooh, Foo Fighters.
That's a good answer, though. I like that.
Foo Fighters.
You know, they didn't mention that, but they should have. Yeah, wait, Taylor Hawkins sung a hit, though?
Oh, yeah. I guess those are covers. Chili Peppers? Did Frusciante sing one?
I don't know if he sung a hit.
I hate this list and I love it. Let's do it.
I know, it is a cool list. Okay, the Kinks did a song called Death of a Clown in 1967, and the deal was Dave Davies, guitarist Dave Davies wrote and sang some of the Kinks songs, not many, but lead vocals on singles always went to Ray Davies. This song was an exception. It appeared both in the Kinks album Something Else and as a solo Dave Davies single, which reached number 3 in the UK charts.
I don't know if I would notice a difference. Does it sound that
sounds
different?
A little bit like Ray, but not.
Yeah.
I'd rather have Ray sing. That was a UK hit. This one's a better one. This one cracked me up because did you know that the Strawberry Alarm Clock's Incense and Peppermints was not sung by the lead singer? But it's their only hit.
No one knows
they should have made a permanent change.
Yeah, that's what I thought, because I like the guy's voice on the song. Pops up like an L.A. band, which included lead guitarist Ed King, who was later in Lynyrd Skynyrd. In fact, Ed King wrote some of the best riffs in some Skynyrd songs. Hand claps. Okay, so they had resented that their producer had commissioned lyrics from songwriter John Carter for one of their instrumental tracks. So neither of the group's singers, Lee Freeman or Mark Weitz, wanted to put any effort into a song that was intended to be a B-side anyway. Whoa. So they didn't object when John Carter suggested the song be sung by Greg Munford, who was a teenage friend of the band who was hanging around the studio but was known to be able to sing. So anyway, it ended up being their big hit, and I think the guy ended up in the band too. They included on the list the Rolling Stones' Happy, because Keith Richards sings it, and Keith sang songs, but Keith, this is his biggest hit.
Okay,
I mean, Mick sang all their
bathroom
hits.
Break song.
That's fair, though.
I like Happy, though. It's not... I don't consider it a bathroom break Keith song, because Happy, isn't that a pretty big Stone song? It was number 5 in the UK, number 22 in the US. I mean, certainly a Stone song people know. Grand Funk Railroad were an American band. I didn't realize that Mark Farner didn't sing it, but he didn't.
Who?
Grand Funk Railroad got into a late night argument in a Baton Rouge bar with Humble Pie. Which was better, British rock or American rock? Grand Funk drummer Don Brewer touted Jerry Lee Lewis, Fats Domino, Little Richard, Elvis Presley, and then declared, "We're an American band." Once Brewer sobered up, he turned that nationalist sentiment into a song, and when the band went to the studio to record it with Todd Rundgren, Brewer did the vocals, not Mark Farner. It went to number 1.
On the road to 40 days.
Sweet Connie Hemsey. The Eagles, I knew the Eagles were going to be in here because they had... The Eagles and Queen both had multiple members of the band that wrote pretty big songs for the band. And Randy Meisner wrote and sang Take It to the Limit. And Take It to the Limit was... That was a pretty big Eagles song. Not one of my favorites, but it was...
Yuck.
It was big for them.
I know one that's probably not going to be on your list, but we discussed this song a lot, was the Canned Heat.
Wait, but he sang... He didn't sing their other hit?
Well, if he did, then he only sang those two. Because I know that he wasn't the lead singer of Canned Heat. Because
when we were doing
a deep dive on that, someone got angry at me for... using a picture of the actual lead singer and not the one who sang the song.
He doesn't sing On the Road Again, which was a big song. That's the only other Canned Heat song I know. I'm going up the country. Could that guy
and
sing?
This one's not a hit.
Old man,
but this
look at my life.
This was definitely one of the greatest songs ever sang by a member of a band who was not the lead singer.
How do you know that's not on the list?
It wasn't it. Brandon beat the shit out of me. Brandon.
Did somebody say Beth from Kiss?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
The biggest single Kiss ever had, which just kills those guys. Chris said the day we recorded it, Bob Ezrin and everybody in this tuxedo is the New York Philharmonic. When we went to the record plant to do the vocals, Gene and Paul were in the control room. I'll never forget it. They were looking at me like it was one big fucking joke.
That doesn't sound like those guys.
Bob threw them out. They left it in five takes. It was beautiful. Remember the song, You're Just a Love Machine?
Yeah.
The Miracles?
Yeah.
That was Smokey's band, but Smokey didn't sing it. Let's see. After the lead singer left the group, they recorded a concept album called City of Angels about a small town couple who travel to LA to become stars. After the pair make it, Love Machine is how the boyfriend describes himself, with Billy Griffin holding down lead vocals. Song hit number one and spent 28 weeks on the Hot 100. Really? Wow.
Song.
I gotta say, he doesn't really sound like that much of a love machine.
No, I agree. Did you know that Don't Fear the Reaper by Blue Oyster Cult is not sung by the lead vocalist?
Buck Dharma?
Eric Bloom.
Hmm.
Although the lead singer was Eric Bloom, Don't Fear the Reaper was written and sung by the band's lead guitarist, Buck Dharma.
Hey, look at you, Trudy.
Sex Pistols, No One Is Innocent. This is a wild story. I didn't realize this song was even a hit. But, in fact, you know, is the song My Way that That's Sid Vicious sang, is that listed as a Sex Pistols song?
I think it's a solo song. I think it's when he went solo.
Okay.
I'll check it up.
This is a really weird story.
Yeah, that was off the Idols with Sid Vicious album.
Okay, by the time of their fifth single, the Sex Pistols had already broken up with Johnny Rotten and Sid Vicious leaving the band. But Steve Jones and Paul Cook, Steve Jones could play. Paul Cook could play, too. They went to Brazil, and they recorded this track with Ronnie Biggs, the Brit famous for his role in the Great Train Robbery. He was a fugitive, and he recorded the vocals. Biggs wasn't much of a vocalist. He said he could have done much better if he hadn't been drunk, but the song is featured in the Great Rock and Roll Swindle, and astonishingly, the single went top 10 in the UK. Huh. With a fugitive as a lead singer. How cool is that? Squeeze Tempted. That was really Squeeze's biggest American hit, and it was sung by Paul Carrack, who also was in, he was in Ace. He sang How Long in Ace, and I think he sang a hit for Mike and the Mechanics, maybe, was it? I know he's got hits in three bands. But Glenn Tilbrook usually sings Squeeze's songs. I love Squeeze. This is not my favorite Squeeze song by a mile. Oh, Tilbrook has a few lines in the second verse, as did an almost unrecognizable Elvis Costello. I didn't know that.
This song blows.
I don't think it's worthy of even such a stupid remark.
Oh, I just thought of another one, but okay. I'm pretty sure it's going to be on your list, so I'll wait.
Bring it. Go ahead.
Night Ranger, right? Sister Christian?
Yes, you are correct.
How did you know that?
I want to say that I learned that tidbit from, what's his name? Carl Coffey.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Carl Coffey.
US 103.1.
The veteran afternoon driver at WCSX. And also the song that was in that fantastic scene. Yeah. Sister Christian, with the Firecrackers. Don't you give it a movie called Boogie Nights. I can't hear the song without thinking of that scene.
Oh,
And the guy with that big porn mustache and the robe.
It's a great scene. How about then, a perfect marriage of music and movie?
And then I don't want to take over your list here, though, but one of my favorite bands is Pink Floyd, and obviously they've had a, Sid Sid Barrett, Gilmore, Roger Waters,
yep.
even the keyboard guy. What's it, Robin
Rick
Wright?
Richard Wright.
Yeah, Rick Wright. He sang some songs too, but Have a Cigar, isn't that a completely different singer? And that was a hit.
I don't know who sang Have a Cigar, You're Gonna Go Far. You know, why does nobody play Have a Cigar on the radio? That's a great song. And Shine On You Crazy Diamond? Does anybody play that, Trudy? Do you guys play Shine On You Crazy Diamond?
Shine On, it takes so long to actually get to any lyrics. It takes like 8 or 9 minutes.
Yeah, that's too long.
You just pick it up there.
Yeah. Here, I'm gonna... Yeah. Let's see. Night Ranger had 5 top 40 singles not titled Sister Christian, including When You Close Your Eyes and Don't Tell Me You Love Me. I hate that song. Unfortunately for lead singer Jack Blades, the Smash Sister Christian, a power ballad, was written by the drummer Kelly Keegi for his younger sister Christine and was sung by Keegi. Okay.
And then yes, Roy Harper sang Have a Cigar.
Roy Harper? Who's Roy Harper?
He's an English folk rock singer.
What was he doing in Pink Floyd?
I guess they tried everybody.
They tried shit.
All the members of the band to see who, like, you know, which one sounded right, and none of them sounded right, so they brought in Roy Harper for that one. See, Pink
Floyd sings it. I'm sorry, who sings it in concert then?
Probably Gilmore. He sings all of Roger Waters' parts too, for the most part. Since they don't tour together or anything like that. But Pink Floyd, I always get confused on who's singing what. Roger Waters kind of has I think he has a shit voice. It doesn't sound good. All his songs I don't like. I'm a big Gilmore guy, even though Drew hates him.
I don't hate David Gilmore.
Pro Roger Waters.
No, I like Roger Waters, but I like Dave Gilmore too. Toto, most Toto songs are sung by Bobby Kimball or Steve Lukather, but David, I don't even know how to pronounce his name, Page sang Africa.
Really?
Yes.
That's another one we got yelled at for, because when we interviewed Lukather, I think we used a picture of the Toto music video, and someone yelled at me, "It's not even Lukather."
Oh God, why does it mean so much to that person?
I know.
I'm sorry.
I think it says something about the person complaining, to be honest. let's see. Can I this thing get out of the way, please? Did you know that? Is it the first number one they did? Okay, this is a good story, actually. Sisters Ann and Nancy Wilson had a straightforward division of labor. Nancy played guitar, and Ann handled the lead vocals.
Oh, I thought it was going to be Eat.
But in 1986, when they'd gone a few years without a hit, they were offered 2 songs co-written by Martin Page and Bernie Taupin. They picked These Dreams and had Nancy sing it, which she did while fighting off a cold. The raspy result was Heart's first number one single. And by the way, the song Heart didn't choose, We Built This City, became a teeth-grinding smash for Starship.
Wow, what a good decision that they made long-term.
the Georgia Satellite's Battleship Chains, I don't even remember that song. I don't even know what that song is.
It was a hit?
I don't know. Allegedly, it's on the list. While Dan Baird was singing lead for the Georgia Satellites, most famous for Keep Your Hands to Yourself, and writing most of the songs, he brought the band a catchy tune written by Terry Anderson for Baird's previous band, The Woodpeckers. Battleship Chains, it reached number 76. Who cares? Who fucking cares? Oasis Don't Look Back in Anger was sung by Noel Gallagher.
Does that really count? I guess.
He doesn't sing many hits. Isn't that the only big hit he sings? I mean, he can sing all of them.
Yeah, like he sings them all now.
When Liam was sick and
he sang more
unable
than just
to
that.
Do MTV Unplugged. Yeah, he sang a few, but I don't know about hits.
That was probably the biggest one. Yeah.
I like his voice. I think he sings great.
Well, ultimately, that was kind of the demise. Noel wanted to sing more, and Liam got mad at him.
There's a lot going on there. But Noel sang all of the songs at the MTV Unplugged because Liam claimed he was sick, and then he heckled him from the catwalk above.
While smoking. Yeah, smoking and drinking, even though he was sick. Yeah.
All right.
That's it?
That's 15,
really
I guess.
Not that many, but yeah.
No, I'm sure there's more.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I like bands that have more than one singer. Like, I always like the Pete Townsend vocals in The Who.
Well, you like The Cult or The Clash?
I love The Clash.
The Beatles. I love The Who.
Let's see. Wait, Pete Townsend. Let me get this little list up. Pete Townsend. There was a list, you know, so many people are putting up lists right now because, like, we don't have anything to do. Put up a list. And somebody had a list of the top 10 Who songs. And I realized as I was reading the list, I was going, what? I forget how many great songs the Who have. The Who are definitely one of those bands that just has a monster catalog, even though they really didn't do that many albums.
I mean, yeah, but they had all great hits.
Yeah. But Who's Next was their fifth album. And then there was Who by Numbers. It's Hard. What was the Who Are You album? Is that Who's Hard? Is that It's Hard? I mean, they really only had like eight albums or nine albums, didn't they? Except for the 2006 one, and they just had one. But right. I mean, in their prime,
Who Are You?
I mean, if you think of like the Beatles or the Stones, they were churning out so much music. But the Who's, I mean, their batting average is very high. Put it that way. Pete Townsend vocals. I like Bargain and This Song Is Over, which Pete just has like one verse or he sings one part of it. But I don't always like his part. Pete Townsend vocals on Who songs? He sang Going Mobile, I think, didn't he?
That's a good song. Yeah.
I think he's got seven or eight songs that were actually on albums. Let's see.
Eminence Front is a pretty good tune.
Oh, it's a great song. Oh, man, I love that song. Let's see. Townsend lead vocals on Who songs. Why is it so hard to find? Eminence Front, Illegal Matter, However Much I Booze from Who by Numbers, Sunrise or Odorano. Blue, Red, and Gray, also from Who by Numbers. I'm One, Cut My Hair, Sensation, Acid Queen, Going Mobile, Our Love Was, I Can't Reach You, Endless Wire, God Speaks to Marty Robbins, In the Ether, They Made My Dreams Come True, Trilby's Piano, and You Stand By Me. Somebody mentioned Glittering Girl. And then, of course, he's got his solo career. He had a pretty solid solo career.
Yeah. Rough Boys.
Let My Love Open the Door is played in Brandon's Wedding.
That's true.
It's a great song.
Glad you remembered that.
This song kind of was ruined a little bit because I think one of the casinos downtown used it for their commercial that ran all the time.
Is that right?
Yeah. Am I the only one that remembers that?
I don't really recall it.
Maybe 10 years ago?
This song is not ruinable for me. I love this song.
It does definitely seem like a music bed I've heard a lot.
Yeah, it does land various places because it's a long, long intro.
Good guitar in there.
Pete has a great version of Save It For Later, the English Beat song.
Yeah, great song.
Or maybe it was one of our backwits.
Oh, it probably was. Rough Boys, Let My Love Open the Door, Misunderstood, Give Blood, Slit Skirts.
Oh, yeah. I love that one.
Yeah, man.
I love The Who.
So, let's see. Here's something I thought was kind of weird today. Actually, this whole story is weird, and I'm not sure exactly how to feel about it. AOC today was calling out the hypocritical response to the Joe Biden sexual assault allegation.
L.O.B.!
Saying that we believe women until it inconveniences us. And she didn't just mean Democrats. She meant whoever. And this woman, Tara Reid, I have not really seen her anywhere.
Well, I don't know if you saw that story I sent you because the AP finally interviewed her. And
yeah,
did their
3 weeks after she said this.
Yeah.
Which was weird. Since when has anyone waited to report something until they can interview them?
Yeah.
And the New York Times was silent for 3 weeks. In fact, they, after Biden denied it, they issued some sort of a correction. It was some odd event where they actually re-edited the story. CNN has not covered the story at all. And I don't really know what to make of that. It's very strange. I mean, when you think of Christine Blasey Ford, which, I mean, as soon as she opened her mouth, it was like, whammo! Yeah. And people taking sides immediately.
Yeah, I know. I've seen a bunch of people jump all over Alyssa Milano because here she's endorsed Biden and she's really pushing Biden, yet she was so on top of the Christine Blasey Ford. We believe her. You have to believe her.
She was at the hearings.
Every single one of Kavanaugh's, you know, the hearings, and she was sitting there.
No, she was livid. She was absolutely livid that that didn't knock Kavanaugh out. And
maybe Biden can have her on the podcast.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Talk about it.
But the thing about the Biden story is Biden is, I think, in his late 40s, and she is working in his office mm-hmm. when this happened, whereas Kavanaugh was 17, and the girl was 15, I think, Christine Blasey Ford. I mean, it's a little...
I'm just curious. Were there other people that back her story up at the time, the Tara Reid lady?
I don't know that much about it, because honestly, there hasn't been that much written about it.
Yeah. I thought you were going to talk about AOC's other comment that she made today on The View.
About the protest?
No, about...
Somebody on The View, by the way, said the protest in East Lansing was racist.
Huh?
Yeah. That protest... Mm. And by the way, there were protests all over the place yesterday. There was a protest in North Carolina. There was a protest in, I think, Utah.
I think we have to say Lansing because I've received a lot of email regarding it not being East Lansing.
I thought the capital was East Lansing.
No, it's Lansing. East Lansing.
Oh, East Lansing is Michigan State. Oh, okay. Duh.
Well, but, you know, a lot of people that were there obviously stayed in their vehicles and, you know, did it the right way. But then there were a few who got out and they had their guns on the Capitol. And they got all the attention.
That was all the attention. That was all you saw.
The small business owners, the landscapers, the roofers, the ones that want to get back to work.
And the boaters.
That message was kind of lost, I would think.
Yeah, I think the thing got hijacked. And the people who were at the rally, who are really angry about this, they were really, they felt that the media did a poor job of doing the story, that they focused on people who were not wearing masks, who were gathering together, who were holding guns, which does make a better picture. By the way, why were people holding, look like machine guns? Well, what was that all about? What does that have to do with going to work?
I don't know.
Didn't it just seem stupid?
One of the guys was the listener we talked to who confronted Joe Biden. He was up there at the rally. What's his name, Brandon? Do you remember?
No.
I don't know. You were the one telling me that he was up there.
Well, I saw his tweet. He was he was doing videos from his truck as he drove through.
Yeah.
The thing about the rally that I think got lost was that it was a huge rally. There were a ton of cars. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of people, and they came from far. And it was a big expression of how a certain group of people feel. And in the end, it, you know, even the governor didn't even address what the protest was. She just said, well, it's just going to last longer because you people aren't going to get coronavirus. and they were. I mean, the people that were standing on the steps, that was dumb. I totally agree. And they weren't wearing masks. And the guy that said, I'm a Christian, so therefore, what, he's not going to get coronavirus?
Yes.
I mean, I think there's a tendency
I think the message gets lost when you have a protest that turns into a circus, even by design, just driving your cars there.
Probably.
Did you see
although no one's
Kentucky's?
Driving right now.
Sure, you're right. What's that true?
Kentucky's?
Yeah, Kentucky had one, but people were socially distanced, which is surprising.
Well, that's much better, yeah.
Yeah. You know, standing way apart.
And that auto worker is Jerry Wayne, right?
Yeah, that's right, Jerry. Yeah.
And there was a lot of bitching that they were keeping the emergency room from ambulances could not get in the emergency room, which people were saying was not true at all.
Said that.
In fact, people were saying this online.
Oh, online.
Yeah. Well,
because there was picture of the ambulance trying to split.
Yeah. There was a lot of shit stirred up yesterday. And this whole business about blocking the emergency room, in the end, it's like, I never know if these things are true or not, because there are people saying that, no, that's bullshit, that the far left lane was open the entire time. And there were other people saying that there was a picture that was being used a lot online that wasn't even the street. So, you know, you're reading this stuff. Going, I don't know what the fuck to believe. All I know is a shit ton of people were there. They're pissed and they didn't really unfortunately, their point got completely muddled, which is too bad for them. And I don't know. It was messy. Confederate flags.
Is that
too.
When you blacked out?
Yeah, I kind of I did black out. And then the Confederate flags? Why Confederate flags?
Someone was mad at you.
Michigan.
Someone was mad at you for mentioning that because there was only one.
Was there only one?
According to that person.
That's what I mean, though. I think when the media sees good pictures, Confederate flag, guys holding guns. You know, they take pictures of it, and that gets out. And so, but I don't know. Honestly, somebody should have told that guy to put the fucking flag down. It was stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And we weren't part of the South anyway.
Nope. We won. We're winners.
Yeah.
We're Yankees. That was a fun, kind of a funny story today that was, I thought it was interesting. It was one of those, it was kind of a cheap shot, but not really. It was in Daily Mail. It was one of their lead stories. It was about how Ivanka Trump traveled 200 miles to her second home days after pleading with people to stay at home. And this response, which I thought was just bullshit, was where they went to celebrate Passover was less populous than Washington, D.C.
So it's like, less.
What?
Yeah, but you know what?
So it's okay to go anywhere if it's less populous.
Did she stay in her car the whole time or did she get out and get gasoline?
They won't reveal how she got there.
I thought I saw that she was on a plane.
Yeah, I thought she
probably
flew.
Was.
Yeah,
but you know, plane. The reason it's even worse than someone else saying, "Hey, don't do this," and then doing it is that, you know, she has to have Secret Service people with her everywhere. So she carries a crowd everywhere she goes.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty silly.
But that, and what Ivanka Trump is really, Passover is so important that it be celebrated in New Jersey instead of Washington. Where'd she go? Was it New Jersey?
I don't know.
I think it was.
So, with his family?
Yeah, with Jared's family, I guess. Cool. I guess that was so important.
It sounds like fun, doesn't it? Passover with the Kushners?
Blast.
Yeah.
And this is the problem, and this is why I keep saying, why are these planes leaving and coming into Metro every day? How many of those people really need to go or come back from wherever they are? And it makes me feel like no matter what we do, it's going to be too half-ass because there's always going to be people flouting the rules.
Well,
everybody's just, you know, so many people think what they're doing is more important than anything else, and so they're going to do it.
I don't know. Why can't they just shut down the airlines? Not let them fly for a while?
I don't know.
Because then they'd have to bail them out.
Well, a lot of the flights, I'm sure, are, you know, goods that are coming, you know, stuff from Amazon, stuff from other businesses.
Oh, cargo
and there
flights,
are people who still need to travel for health reasons or for...
Or to celebrate Passover with Jared Kushner's family.
Hey, why doesn't Amazon use drones now? Wouldn't this be the time to do it?
Well, I mean,
they're pretty cool. By the way, can I make a point here about Amazon?
Yeah.
Is anybody noticing it's taking Amazon a long fucking time to get stuff to you now?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I just ordered something today. It's going to take, I think, 5 days.
Slow down, Amazon.
I pay for 2-day delivery. I'm furious.
Should get your money back.
Right. Well, no, you should get your Prime money back.
Absolutely.
Why don't they refund Prime members? They're really not holding up their end of the bargain.
Total bullshit.
Everybody has to be pressured into giving money back, though.
I know.
Nobody just volunteers to do it.
No.
Well, why would you? Except for the University of Michigan. Nobody pressured them to give the tickets back. So.
Yeah, they don't.
Leaders and best.
Leaders
again.
And the best. Huh?
I don't see any other universities doing that yet.
I didn't get my Louis Anderson ticket money back.
What?
No.
You know,
it's every man for themselves. I'm telling you, people are going to do things they would never do because they're trying to make sure they can keep going.
I was looking online to see if I could find an official answer, and I couldn't. So right as it stands right now, Rage Against the Machine is still on for July 13th.
No
way. You know, again,
it doesn't look like it's been officially canceled or postponed.
I'm starting to see towns that are canceling their festivals and stuff like that that happen in July.
The
so it's only
festival.
A matter of time before Rage bows out.
The Cherry Festival got canceled.
Well, you know, there's this rather major problem that when people aren't outspending any money, they're not paying any sales tax. Mm-hmm. And I mean, this problem, unfortunately, it just can get worse and worse and worse. And that's why, you know, I worry about mesas, because if we, our last option was to, you know, just pack up our bags, we still have to sell the building, and a building like that can lose a lot of fucking value. And, you know, real people are predicting losses in real estate. And it's like, then that means less property taxes, and that means less revenue for government. And so, you know, it's just, that's why that CBS story about the ripple effect of unspent dollars, that's when I faded to black. I was like, this is hopeless. Forget it. And I don't know. I don't know if people are prepared for the economic part of this, which is going to be a bummer.
What do you mean? It already is.
Well, yeah, it already is, because people, 75% of the country is making less money. And the 25% of the country that are doing their normal jobs, making their normal money, which is weird. I'm still trying to think of, are there really that many people working? Anyway, those people are saying that they are being far more cautious about how they spend
their money. Yeah, consumer spending, I think, is way down.
So,
for the month of March.
You know, you can turn on the economy, but it's just not.
It's also harder to spend a lot of money right now because things are closed. I mean, it's harder to get certain things that you want as opposed to your needs.
Well, you could probably buy a lot of shit on Amazon.
And travel is shut down. I mean, travel is a huge, travel and real estate, huge parts of the economy.
But I'm not sure that people are prepared for the long-term pain because, you know.
That's why it's not going to go on long-term, because they can't allow it. There'll be a time when they'll be like, okay, we can handle these many people being sick, or that we'll be prepared for this second wave or this third wave until there's a vaccine.
But that the pain, I mean, the pain in just shutting all these things down, even for how long is it, a month now?
It's been a month, yeah.
A month. I mean, that's zero. That's a big zero. And that means a lot of people have to make new rules and have to come up with, you know, well, I don't need this. I don't need that. I don't need this guy. I don't need that girl. And that's hard. Mm-hmm. People have to deal with that. It's a big fucking pain in the ass, and it hurts the people at the bottom the most. You know, people who are.
But I think a lot of people still equate it to the Great Recession, where it took, you know, 7 to 10 years to fully recover. I don't feel, I mean, a lot of, what do I know, but a lot of economists feel that, no, it won't be that long.
But, I mean, it's going to be 2 years? I mean, 2 years is a long time.
I don't know, a lot of them,
I mean, is unemployment, people are talking about unemployment being 13% in the last quarter of the year.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of people. Mm-hmm.
But a lot of them talking about a V-shaped recession because it's just starting the engine back up again slowly.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, the biggest thing is, Mark, you've said this a bunch of times, the fact that the rest of the world is going through it as well, that kind of helps us. I mean, if we were the only one on lockdown, if we were the only one that was going through this pandemic, I could see us really falling into a recession where other countries are boosted in their economy. But since it's happening to everybody,
yeah,
I think we'll bounce back.
I don't know who China's selling stuff to right now. They're not selling it to us.
Fuck China.
China!
I'm so mad. I mean, China.
We don't know yet, but I really, you know.
Yeah, their wet markets are open, so maybe they can come up with some another new pandemic pretty soon.
Yeah, COVID-20. I got to be a pangolin. I want to see what this is all about.
COVID-21.
Tastes like chicken.
COVID-22.
Okay, let's get out of here. Everybody have a great weekend. And I'm actually looking forward to this concert Saturday night. Something to look forward to. What do you know?
Yeah.
And in the Music Awards Sunday night, ESPN has the beginning of this 10-part thing. That's a long deal. I'm sure I'll be watching it.
I have a feeling it'll be about 5 parts too long.
Yeah, that does sound way too long.
Especially if there's all this stuff about his mom in there.
Boring. Nobody cares about Jordan's mom.
You know, Robin Roberts does.
Oh, breaking news. Presley Gerber, Cindy Crawford's son.
Yeah, get another tattoo.
Another tattoo.
Cool.
He has a gun tattoo. Oh, my God. It's right where you would put a gun in your waistband, too. That's
pretty
clever.
How do you get a tattoo during lockdown?
Good question.
Good question. You live with an artist, I guess.
Well, he was playing basketball with his shirt off, so maybe he got it before, but oh, he's starting to get a lot of tattoos. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Oh,
he's got a big 310 across the front, and his parents are not happy about all these tattoos. But
what a mess.
He's a male model, so, I mean, they need tattooed models, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah, they're essential.
Well, I hope his, I hope he has a long and successful career as a male model, because I'm sure he's a great kid. And let's see. Like us on Facebook, please, and do download the show. Hopefully listen to the part that's not on Facebook Live. We are pulling bigger numbers on Facebook Live, which is causing us to get less downloads, which I would not prefer, but it's unique time, so we're trying to give you a little more of the live action. And hopefully it all washes out in the end. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you.
It's the weekend.
Hey, guys. Thanks for being essential. I'm calling to tell you that I called on March 20th about the dildos that need to be essential. Yeah. That's what's going on. People got to go to work to make metal machines to turn into mold machines to make dildos. So... after that, what you guys got to do is keep doing what you guys are doing. Keep doing it. Also, about the COVID-19, once you guys, once we all get done with this COVID-19, everybody quarantined, there'll be issues to where there'll be just people still staying at home giving COVID-19 to one another. So they'll still be interacting with the public. And then guess what happens? They get infected. So eventually it could turn into Chinese to where they pull these assholes out of their houses and give them treatment because they won't, you know, think about it. They'll have to start making their own hospitals for them. Either way, keep up the good work, you son of a bitch, you. Yo, you guys talk about models. You know, Trump said that the models, well, basically the models are based off yesterday's news to project to the next day. So they're always going to try to, you know, fluctuate differently. But when Trump said, he's like, models? I don't know about models. I see some models, but not these kind of models. You know, the kind of models I see. Yes. No time now. Let's see. Next question, please. Next question. Look, I don't care what Jim Acosta had to say. Listen, you're fake news. Okay, you're a two-bit journalist. Good night. I emailed Drew not that long ago about the gig economy. Yes, the gig economy. Some people might be saying, what's the gig economy? Well, you guys got strippers. You get Uber drivers. If people are missing out on work right now, they can apply for unemployment. Yes, again, now the dildo service has been put back into where all these Instagram checks are losing money left and right. Now all they have to do is apply for unemployment. And guess what's going to happen? Redistribution of the funds. Just like Mark says, don't pay your bills. Pay your OnlyFans girl accounts. If Aaron Carter or Farrah, they lose a little bit of money, come on. Reinvest into the economy. These people are out there dying on the pine. On the pine. In the pine where they can't find themselves when they're good. Then they're dying in the pine. In the pine. So. Sleep tight tonight, guys. And gig economy, I said, was what it is. What do you think happens? All you guys people are like, oh, fuck these guys, $15 an hour. I work. I sweat. $15 my check. I work. No, doesn't work that way, kids. You got to make ventilators. And then along comes your government. We're going to pay more for the ventilators. So, somewhere between 15 G's and 25 G's a piece is what the ventilators are going for right now. Can you imagine why the automakers say, yeah, we're not going to make cars right now? There you go. So, buy America from America. Good night, America. Hey, how do you know? How do you know? Do you remember Angelina, the Staten Lion, Staten Island hamster? Yes. She quit the show and became an EMT. And then she gave up being an EMT. And now she went back to the Jersey Shore show. How do you know? How do you know? Think about it, Drew. Hey, when you watch The Wonder Years, the very underrated part of The Wonder Years is the way the dad always acts. That was the first time ever where it was like, that dad is going to beat somebody's ass if this motherfucker doesn't do shit right. You know, that motherfucking dad was the worst dad ever in the history of TV dads. If you look them up, there's no other dad that's like, fuck my kid, I hate you. That's the way his character is portrayed. So, go ahead, look it up.
What in the hell are you talking about?